Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Kids, we got a full show tonight, but right off the bat, it's going to be a night when we keep our eyes to the skies. So if you are someplace where you see something nasty going on we should know about, let us know about it at 312-981-7200. Yeah, it was a pretty drive coming in tonight, but we're getting reports of nasty weather stuff going to descend on our heads.
It was hot and windy driving in. Was it 89 degrees on the thermometer in the car at 8 o'clock?
Wasn't that a morning team on some radio station?
Hot and windy here, waking you up.
I'd be hot, you'd be windy. Okay.
Yeah, well, I assume that.
Okay. First Saturday of summer, and it feels an awful lot like it. And by the way, if our microphones are on and you hear a beep, beep, beep in the background that sounds serious, yeah, it is. It's the National Weather Service telling us, look up at the rolling, scrolling signage, and we're going to tell you what's going on.
Because rolling, scrolling signage. See the rolling signage.
Oh, golly. It's going to be a long 5 hours, yep. I think. Have your meds kicked in? Maybe they have kicked in. That's it. They've kicked in. Yes, if you have something to say, if you are in some iffy weather, with a big show at Ravinia tonight, that's Los Lobos and Little Feet.
Yeah. Dixie Chicken.
I was at Lavinia.
Have your meds kicked in?
Apparently not. I was there one night when there was a tornado warning. And boy, that was because human nature is such that people run. And you don't want to be in the midst of a few thousand people running.
No.
Unless
you know,
one of the people that's running yourself. But yeah, it was kind of disconcerting. But hopefully, you know, we'll keep you up to date. And if you're heading home from Ravinia, good. I hope you had a great time. There's a couple things going on tonight. No Billy Joel at Soldier Field. That was last night.
Right.
That was the concert I really wish we could have seen. Stevie Nicks and Billy Joel.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
And they do a couple numbers together.
Yeah. And they were apparently in great voice, and everybody said it was just the best. And I'm glad for both of them, because it's been an awful long time. I mean, the first time I saw Billy Joel was 1975. And it was
1975. Now, where did you see him?
I saw him at Murray State University on the I was sitting on the gymnasium floor, and they had his piano on a riser that was about 3 feet off the floor. Mm-hmm. So we got there early enough that we were basically sitting at his feet as he was performing.
How cool.
And he was great. He was
That was back in the Piano Man days?
Yeah. And he had the whole gymnasium wrapped around his little finger. And then it was in 77 that I saw Fleetwood Mac, and they were fabulous.
I never saw Fleetwood Mac. Where did you see them?
I saw Fleetwood Mac in Chicago, and the opening act was
Really at their career height, where they had Rumors and
but Kenny Loggins was the opening act, and there we go.
Okay,
so we have a thunderstorm watch going on.
I'll just read this as it comes across. National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning for Lake County, Illinois, beginning at 9:13 p.m.
That's right now.
And ending at 1:43 a.m.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, again, I will repeat. National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning for Lake County in Illinois, beginning now and running through 1:43. And whatever we're doing tonight, if there's a nasty weather thing you need to know about, you will know about it.
Richmond, Illinois is checking in saying heavy rain, lightning, thunder, and no electricity for about 45 minutes now. So if you have a report for us, please don't hesitate. You can call us at 312-981-7200 or text us.
And go ahead, Ron.
No, I was going to say right now I'm looking at the radar, and it looks like the heavy storms are they're north of us here in Chicago, but they're hitting Woodstock, Waukegan, Belvedere, and Rockford at about right now. So it's just heavy rain at this point, but strong winds. They say the wind gusts could be up to 70 miles per hour, and that is going to cause some damage, you know, for trees and roofs, and especially, you know, late at night.
And just a tip, one of the things we did before we left tonight, we unplugged our desktop computer because you don't know what's going to happen. And even if you have a power surge supply, doesn't matter, not a bad thing to unplug any electronic devices you can get to and unplug, so they're not damaged by any weather problems.
And neither one of us wanted to crawl behind the TV, so we just keep our fingers crossed that our TV, which is actually more valuable than our computer, that it survives whatever happens.
Yeah. Well, the computer has a lot of stuff.
Well, that's true, yes. And we would be kind of lost if we went in there and it was smoking.
And Ron, obviously the words for tonight are, if there's anything going on, jump in, and it doesn't matter what we're doing.
Okay, yeah, we're keeping an eye on it here.
Okay. I took the time to pull all of the chairs away from the picnic table on the patio and shove my plants underneath. I thought, okay, I'm going to give them a chance to survive this. I did that last
week. Including the little hibiscus?
Yes, the cute little hibiscus that is doing so beautifully.
We're developing a family of hibiscus. What is the plural of hibiscus? Hibiscus?
yeah. A bunch of hibiscuses.
Hibiscium?
And do you do a hibiscus with an apostrophe S? So it would be two S's, or just a... Ron, you're the grammar guy.
Oh, I am. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. You just appointed me, I guess. That was pretty sudden, but okay, I'll take it.
Because I always struggle with, like, when you're writing out a Christmas card, and the name is Les, L-E-S, and you want to say Les is. Is it L-E-S apostrophe S? Because the two S's look weird.
And I've dealt with that, when we were writing about Les Paul.
Yes, right.
And the consensus I came up with, or decided on, is that put an apostrophe S after L-E-S.
Yes. Well, actually, your brother, the English teacher for 100 years, said it's apostrophe S. And we said, but he doesn't look right. It only needs a it doesn't need an extra S.
So. Yeah, I think that's right. I would concur.
Okay.
I would concur with the expert.
Well, see? You deserve to be the expert on the show.
It's always safe to agree with the experts.
Especially, if they're school teachers for like 40 years.
Yeah.
If they are able to survive that, then they've got the ultimate respect from us.
Yeah, and they know how to text, so.
Yes. Oh, that's true, too. Yes. We're going to take a quick break. And again, if you've got a weather report you want to share with us, 312-981-7200, you can call us and you can text us at that number on WGN.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Bill Withers. I know, I know, I know, I know, I know.
Good song.
Ain't no sunshine. Lots of nasty weather going on right now, though.
Roscoe, Illinois is checking in. They're 3 miles from Wisconsin. It's down to 75 degrees, so it's taking a dip. I think I should have learned the backstroke. My weather radio went off and said tornado warnings until 10 p.m. for Wisconsin. And the listener says, I just heard Ron. Let me scroll. And I'm about 17 miles north of Rockford. We really got hit about 30 minutes ago, but it's starting all over again. Lots and lots of hard rain and very strong winds. Yeah, that wind will get your attention.
And Drew, you are up in Wisconsin. Whereabouts?
I am just south of Darien, Wisconsin.
And what are you seeing?
I just had what I believe was a tornado come through.
Oh, no.
My ears popped. I put my dogs in the bathroom, and I went down the basement. And I think we're getting it again. My power is out. It was something. It was pretty nasty. It tore my property, threw my lawn chair, everything off the porch. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Oh, well, and again, your location is.
I am in Sharon Township. I'm just south of Darien, Wisconsin.
Okay. Yeah, we're getting a number of reports from Wisconsin, but you say it felt like it came through and now it's coming back again?
Everything just got dark. The wind just picked up again. I have no phone. I have no electric. I tried to get my radar up on my phone, and the wind's picking up again. The rain started again. I have no idea what's going on outside. I got candles inside, and I don't know.
Stay in the basement.
Stay in your basement. Yeah. And thank you for the report. I'm going to suggest that you hang up from us and save your cell phone battery in case you need it for something later. But thank you so much for calling, Drew.
And it's a little it's a little late for this tip, but I something I picked up on when we were down in Florida, because there was a lot of talk about hurricane preparedness, and I thought this was kind of a brilliant idea. If you have solar lighting outside, mm-hmm. staked lighting outside, and Bob Fukuda's in the studio with us. Tell me if you think this sounds dumb or if this sounds smart. If you hear that a storm is coming and those solar lights have been activated by soaking up the sun during the day, grab a few of them and bring them in with you, because then you at least have some light.
Yeah.
And you know, you could save your flashlight battery and use the solar lights. And I thought, well, that's half smart.
Does that make sense, Bob?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And also, one other thing that we've learned, if you have your flashlight, don't aim your flashlight in front of you. Aim your flashlight up to the ceiling. It lights the whole room.
Yeah. But, you know, when I'm standing in a dark room and I'm kind of panicked, I don't think about the right way and wrong. I want to get to a safe place. Listeners are checking in, telling us that, in fact, Rockford is getting hit pretty hard. So if you're in Rockford, keep listening. We'll keep you posted on any information that we get. It's kind of quiet in Joliet. Joliet's checking in saying they're doing okay right now. That was about 6 minutes ago.
Yeah, it looks like everything is way to the north.
Yeah.
Of us right now.
I mean, right.
They're in the path. Yeah, Rockford is in the path. Freeport, Mount Carroll, also Woodstock and Waukegan right now.
And I believe it's supposed to be doing stuff throughout the night till about 4 in the morning, depending on where you are.
A listener says, why not use candles? Well, that's great. I got to tell you what happens in my house. I can't find a blasted match for the life of me.
Well, but what we've started doing over the past several Christmases, we have battery-powered candles, which are wonderful.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And so you could do that.
Yes.
And they provide as much light.
I think I needed matches for our fire pit, to get our fire pit started. And I bought, and again, I turned to you, Bob, because you're sitting here in studio and you're the smartest guy in the room. I bought
And a firebug?
Yes. I want you to explain to me what these things are that I bought. Okay. They do not emit a flame, but a spark. What are they called? Because I'm going to tell everybody how wonderful they are, but I don't know how to tell them what to buy. Because I was like, this will never work. And sure enough, you hold
bang,
a piece of paper.
It really works.
And so you have no flame that you're dealing with, which I really like. So it's just like the flint that you're flicking, like a little trigger that you're flicking, but there's no flame coming out of it. Yeah. And there's just enough spark that it, I'll look it up on Amazon to see what I ordered, because I've since ordered for like 4 people as a gift. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, thanks. That's real nice. And then when they're looking for a match, they go, oh, that's right. We got that goofy gift from Steve and Johnny. We'll give that a shot.
Let me jump to, and again, if you have anything we should know about, 312-981-7200. Let me go to Brent. You are in Antioch. What's going on there?
We just got done with the really severe winds and torrential rains, and there is a report of a down power line at the corner of North Avenue and 83.
Ooh.
We are currently out of power. ComEd said that it'll be about 11 o'clock or so tonight. The tornado sirens were going off. We live right on, obviously, the border. Mm-hmm. And I have friends that are stuck in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, with trees down on the ground. They cannot, they can't get home because of all the trees are down Wisconsin. And Twin Lakes is about 15 miles from here.
But that intersection you're talking about, North Avenue and 83, is a very, very busy intersection. So avoid
it. That is correct.
Yeah, avoid it, because there's a report of a power line down there. Did your temperature drop dramatically? Did you notice that?
The temperature dropped. The winds were crazy. And like I said, the tornado sirens were going off. They weren't going off in town, but we could hear the ones going off in Trevor, which is 3 miles from our home.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, be safe, and thanks so much for checking in tonight, Brent.
Yes, no
appreciate
problem.
It. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Again, that's the power line he reported was North Avenue and 83, an incredibly busy area. Lots of rain and wind in Crystal Lake, and 815 area code just checked in. Ken in Palatine said it's windy, but no rain yet in Palatine. So we'll be taking your reports wherever you happen to be if you want to give us a report.
312-981-7200. Yeah. You can either text us or give us a call. And really, we've got a lot of stuff planned for tonight. But regardless of what we're involved in, if there's a weather thing you need to know about, you will know about it.
Yep, absolutely. Again, stay with us. We will keep you posted right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, scratching our heads and trying to figure out the weather relevancy of Julian's book. Other than it sounds chaotic, I mean, not that kind of works.
This is from the scene in Wizard of Oz where she's in the tornado.
Oh, that's true.
See, it all ties together.
Yeah.
Maybe not well, but it all ties together.
And we've got the flying monkeys anyway, so I'm just waiting to look out the window here, the window of the studio. And somebody said, will we have fireworks tonight? I guess so, because it's not raining in downtown Chicago.
Yet.
Yeah. Lake Bluff is checking in saying, in fact, it's raining there. Bad news coming out of Lake Geneva, Williams Bay, and Walworth. A lot of power outages and a lot of rain. That comes from a 773 area code. Palatine also checking in. Crystal Lake checking in. Again, as Ron indicated, this is primarily north of downtown. So when Juliet and Naperville and Aurora checked in and said it's still quiet there, it's hot and it's windy, but no rain yet. That's because everything seems to be happening from this point north.
We should mention that we will stay on top of weather all night long, but we've got a bunch of things going on tonight. A little later, we're going to introduce you to one of the authors of a new comic book that is... It takes place in the city of Chicago.
Right.
And it's a fascinating concept, and we're going to be talking with the author in a little bit. Then a little later, a return visit from our friend from TCM, Turner Classic Movies, Dave Karger, will be joining us and talking a little bit about a Sunday night special that he has going on.
And tonight is car night with Tom Appel, and oh my, do we have...
Oh, yeah.
The recalls to talk about,
yep.
And the news about the car dealerships that have been victims of a cyber attack, literally hundreds of dealerships.
This is the year of the cyber attacks.
Unbelievable.
This is the year that all of the hackers decided, okay, let's see how much chaos we can cause.
I feel like if you have a business that relies on computers, you better get you some legal pads and some good working pens and pencils, because there's
a very good chance
you're going to have to use those. In fact, we got a text tonight from a listener who was checking into the Hilton, and he said, I just checked into the Hilton, and we checked this story out, and it is legit. He said there has been a nationwide a cyber attack on the Hilton, and he said they are telling us that they can't book us via the computer. They're doing everything with paper and pen and keys, to which we said, really? I didn't even know that there were locks in the doors anymore in hotels, because you just have your key card that you slide.
But I think they still have a key where if you have a...
I don't know. But he said that's the only way we were able to get
checked
in. But
with a lot of cars don't have keys. A lot of cars are just
electronic.
They don't
have locks, you're right. You have to use your key fob. Oh, that's weird. Now it's something else to worry about tonight. Thanks.
Well, I'm here to help.
Yes. But we do have a lot to talk about with Tom Appel tonight under the heading of automobiles. And I looked up the doohickey that I was talking about. So if you can never find a match around the house, if you're like me and you're running around going, bah, and maybe you need to light that candle, but you can't find the match to light it with. I have purchased about four times now, because I thought it would be a neat gift for people who, like me, can't ever find a match. Rechargeable electric lighters. And you charge them, Bobby, you charge these like you're charging your cell phone, right?
Yeah, any kind of USB.
USB, yeah. Right. You could tell I've got mine charged, right? I guess I better do that when I get home.
There are so many things now that you charge. I have a guitar that you just plug it in like your phone. It charges and it's got effects. I have a walking stick that I use that has a light and a siren. And you... Have I ever showed you this?
No.
Wait a minute. I need to do a little bit of a demonstration.
Yes. Because Steve has plantar fasciitis, and sometimes he'll just be walking along and suddenly his foot blows up. And so I said, you know what? You just need, when we're going to be walking a great distance, and that's what happens when we get off the elevator here in the building, we have to walk all the way around the main floor on these hard marble floors. And I said, you know, you need to have something other than me to hang on to.
Okay, now this is a visual, but Bob, you can describe this. I'm pushing the little button on the top of the walking stick.
Look at that. Oh, it has a built-in flashlight.
Yes. Okay,
now,
so you can find your, like if you're putting your key in the door and you've got your walking stick, you can find the key.
Now I'm going to press this and hold it a little bit away from the microphone.
Caution, old man approaching. Caution, old man approaching. Get off my porch. Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. That's what it should say next. But I said to you, if you had to use that for any reason whatsoever, people look, what? Where are we in Britain?
That would make them stop in front of you.
Yes. Like, huh? What's that all about?
But anybody who's ever had to deal with plantar fasciitis knows what I'm talking about, because you can be walking down the street.
Just fine.
Very short medical sharing here. You can be walking down the street and all of a sudden, for no reason, it's like somebody just is jabbing a knife into the back of your heel.
Yeah. I mean, you can.
And that's the upside.
And we've been in stores before where you were so frustrated, you started stomping, and I'm going, I don't think that's a good idea.
But oddly enough, it worked when I did that.
I'm going to walk, damn it. And you started stomping your foot. I went, oh, this doesn't look like it's going to be helpful. And then you said, oh, I can walk.
It went away. I'm sure no doctor would ever recommend that. It just worked for me that one time.
Well, 312-981-7200, more weather reports are coming in, and we appreciate that. A listener says, I have two lighters, one on each floor. They're great. A lot of guys up here in the woods use them because they're windproof. I didn't even think of that. They're windproof to a certain degree. But again, you need to remember to charge them. And I'm thinking, I've not done that, so...
And another text, not weather-related, from 847, somebody says, plantar fasciitis can be cured with physical therapy. Been there, done that? No.
You did 12 weeks of physical therapy, and you're 3 days out of PT, and you're walking along, going,
yep.
My foot just went out.
So maybe for some people, for me, no.
Lights went out for a moment in Algonquin. A listener checks in with that. By the way, back to those goofy lighters I mentioned. I paid $19.99 for the two when I originally purchased them.
But then Bob found a better price.
Well, no. Actually, when I brought it up on Amazon, they've reduced the price by 62%. They're $7.58. So
cool.
I'll put a link up for you guys if you think you'd like to grab those. But don't do as I do as I say, charge them. Because I'm thinking, if we went home now and I went, let me run and get my fancy lighters. Oh, they're not charged and we've got no power and I can't charge them. So that's kind of dumb. It is a busy night.
And we should take a break.
Yes,
and then
we should.
We'll get back with more of the busyness. So stay with us.
I love this song. Good choice, Julian.
We're going to let this play for a couple minutes. This is Bobby Goldsboro, Some of the First Time.
Was a hot afternoon, the last day of June, and the sun was a demon. The clouds were afraid, one tin in the shade, and the pavement was steaming. I told Billy Ray in his red Chevrolet, I needed time for some thinking. I was just walking by when I looked in her eye, and I swore it was winking. She was 31 and I was 17. I knew nothing about love, she knew everything. But I sat down beside her on a front porch swing.
It's a great song.
Wondered what the coming night would bring.
We should let this play a little while longer.
No!
Well, Max Armstrong called in to request it. Good choice, Max.
The sun closed her eyes as it climbed in the skies, and it started to swelter.
Okay, now it's getting to the I have to choose my words carefully. An interesting point in the song.
The icky part.
And I thought it would melt her. She threw back her hair like I wasn't there. She sipped on a Julie. her shoulders were bare.
Of course they were.
And I tried not to stare when I looked at her too late.
Somewhere Bob Collins is smiling at this.
When she looked at me, I heard her softly say, I know you're young, you don't know what to do or say.
Okay, here's the key point of the song.
But stay with me until the sun has gone away. And I will chase the boy in you away.
Enough. This is coming out of your pay. Not mine.
She smiled, then we talked for a while.
She smiled.
Then we walked for a mile to the sea.
Probably they had walked. A cigarette.
Yeah.
No, not yet.
And the boy took her hand. But I saw the sunrise as a man.
All right. Daddy, what's he singing about?
Okay, after this part, you can light the cigarette.
That's the cigarette time.
Yeah. Isn't that a great song, Ron?
No.
I've never heard it before. This is
what?
You're kidding. Yeah, I've not heard that before.
This is Bobby Goldsboro.
Right.
I forget what year, but Bob Collins and I love this song. Johnny hated it, but Bob and I always went on.
And Max.
73.
73?
Max Armstrong, my once good friend, knew that this is a song that is like nails on a blackboard in my world.
It's a perfect song for tonight.
No, it's not. It's yeah. Dreck. It's Dreck.
It's a hot day in
oh,
June.
Please.
And it's, you know. And
well, fair is fair. Later on tonight, we're playing Strawberry Wine.
Well, I'm okay with that.
That's a good song.
Yeah,
that's a good song.
Yeah.
We should do a Strawberry Wine some of the first time.
No, twin spin. No.
That's right, a twin spin, everybody.
Ron, I'm surprised you've never heard that piece of music.
I haven't. I don't know. I mean, I know Honey from Bobby Goldsboro.
Yeah.
I know a couple of Bobby Goldsboro
songs.
Well,
this was actually a hit. Thanks to Bob Collins and Steve King and Max Armstrong.
Yeah. And your point is?
Bob Fukuda's in here. He's got his hand on his forehead. It hurt you too, didn't it? It was kind of nauseating.
I'm kind of pretty much equate that one with Sweet Caroline.
Little
creep factor.
Thank you.
Girl from Ipanema.
Thank you.
Quick Bobby Goldsboro memory. This would have been in the 60s, like around 64 or 5-ish, just before I got into radio. Played Madura's Danceland, which was a wonderful place out on the southeast side, just over the border into Indiana. And
past Sin City, right?
No, this was in Whiting.
Oh, I know. I said past Sin
right.
City.
And it was a huge record hop. And we're playing along with the Bill Black Combo and Bobby Goldsboro.
Hmm.
After the gig, Bobby and some of his band members, and some of the guys from the Bill Black's Combo, they were kind of hungry and they didn't know where to go. So we took them, we drove them home. We went to our bass player's house, Casey. And as we were driving, Bobby is in the back seat. We're driving along and all of a sudden we hear the sound of a cricket.
Oh.
What's going on there? Cricket in the car? And everybody's looking around. Long story short, Bobby Goldsboro did a perfect cricket imitation. He had all of us looking for the cricket in the car. There was no cricket in the car, but it was a fun night.
A listener from a 312 area code says, she's 31 and he's 17.
Yeah, your point is?
Now the police and lawyers would be involved and she'd have to register as a sex offender.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was the premise of Summer of 42, I think.
With Jennifer O'Neill.
Yeah.
Who was stunning in that movie. Of course, I don't need to tell you guys that, right?
I remember her. I don't remember the young actor's name.
He was kind of a doofus, too, as I recall. Yeah. I'm like, really? She's kind of way above your league. Yeah, never mind. Someone chimes in and says, play Honey next. No. I've got 4 hours here. No.
Hey, I'll tell you some good music if you guys want to see a good sound or hear a good soundtrack.
In fact, we want to talk to you about that. I know we're getting close to news, but you saw the movie. So,
The Bike Riders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the soundtrack was just fantastic. And it has a strong vibe of Goodfellas in a good way. It's not a copy. It just feels like it's, you know, like it's brother.
And this has what's-his-face who played Elvis?
Austin Butler.
Austin Butler. Yeah. Very, very good. And it, Jodie Comer, I'd not heard of her before, but she does excellent.
Michael
she carries
Shannon.
The movie. Michael Shannon is in there, Chicago mm-hmm. actor. Mm-hmm. Tom Hardy, of course. So it's almost as if you put Marlon Brando and James Dean in a movie about motorcycles. And,
well, now you made me want to see it.
I told him, I saw the trailer and I looked at you and I went, nah.
You will love the soundtrack.
But because of him, because of Ron's review, I said, yeah, I think I need to see this movie.
Okay.
The first hour is just, you know, music and narration.
Really?
And Jodie Comer does a Chicago accent that Dean Richards kind of mocked. He said it was not a strong Chicago accent. But I've heard the actual person, you know, there's some audio of her, and she nails it. It's a very Chicago accent.
Wow.
And maybe I'll send you some audio of her, the real person. But it's just a good movie, well-told movie. And it's from a female perspective, a bike gang, what it was like to be in a bike gang from the female perspective. And it's
set 1965 to 1973.
Yeah, about a real Chicago motorcycle gang. They're actually the outlaws in the movie. They're called the Vandals.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exciting, it's interesting, and it's just a well-done movie.
The Bike Riders.
The Bike Riders.
Cool.
You sit tight because we're going to take a quick break and come back right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and those of you who have been with us for more than a minute know that I am the resident comic book geek of the radio station, have been for, going on 3 decades now, I think?
At least, yeah.
And over the years, Johnny and I remember when the Chicago Comic-Con was just a small thing that was being held in a room at the Palmer House.
Or the Congress Hotel.
Was it the Congress
yes.
Hotel?
Yes. And I would be the only female walking around carrying your shopping bags of things that you would pick up.
And it was the classic Penny on the Big Bang Theory situation.
Because it was a guy thing.
Yeah.
And, as you know, comic books are not for kids. They can be for kids, but what we're talking about are comic books that are a lot more than that. We're talking excellent art, great storylines, and right now we want to talk about a comic book that's going to be set right here in the city of Chicago.
And I love the concept for this.
It's going to bring dragons and aliens and immortals into the city of Chicago, and you might say that's any day of the week, but it will be documented in a new comic book series, and the writer of that series joins us right now. His name is John Dudley. How are you tonight, John?
Hey, John.
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that intro as well.
Well, we unearthed that song and said, Steve said, where's this song been all my life? I'm a comic book collector. Before we get into specifics about your new comic book series, are you a comic book collector? How do you come to be a writer of comic books?
Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting journey to get here. I've been writing comics for a good number of years, 8 or 9 years now. But discovered comics. I grew up actually in Bangkok, Thailand, among a few other places,
mm-hmm.
and found a dusty stack of American comic books at a market there, and was just infatuated with, you know, couldn't find a consecutive issue to save my life. So a lot of to be continued, and trying to kind of sort out, you know, what happened between issues 1 and issues 249.
Right.
As I read issue 250. But that is what started the love affair. And then being fortunate to live in Chicago now, where there's such a vibrant comics community, that's what initially enabled me to meet other lovers of comics. Challengers Comics on Western Avenue is a place where I actually met my first collaborator on a past series. We met at the comic shop and had a cup of coffee and hashed out some ideas and put together what became my first book.
Now, refresh me. Challengers Comics on Western, what's the address there? Because there were a couple of comic stores I used to go to on Western, but they were on the north side. So where is Challengers?
Challengers is, boy, I'm
I think it's by the train. I think it's right by the train station where Lincoln and Western split.
That's the one I'm thinking
yeah,
of.
Yeah.
That's Dark Horse in Lincoln Square.
Oh, okay. You're right. Right. Yeah, yeah. But see, in your movie,
Challengers is Wicker Park area on Western.
In the movie of your life, this is going to be great. There you are hanging out in a comic shop when you meet another guy who's of like mind, and you can decide to go with this project. And your new project is going to be entitled Big Shoulders, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Perfect title. And actually, a friend of mine, as I was discussing titles for the book, it was a friend of mine that suggested Big Shoulders, Wes, another Chicagoan. And that title really stuck and grew over time and felt appropriate for this book.
And Big Shoulders takes place in the city of Chicago, and I love the concept that it involves that this one character that is kind of an ancient immortal. And, well, we should cut to the chase. There's a Kickstarter fundraiser for this, and at the Kickstarter page, you can read some of the comic book. And I am so there, and we're going to be contributing. And
let me tell you, John, the art is just beautiful. Talk a little bit about your artist on the comic book.
Yeah, I'm so lucky. So Scott Gray is the artist and co-creator of this book, and he's based in the UK. Scott has done some amazing work, primarily as a writer. He's written and illustrated a number of Doctor Who comics.
Wow.
He's also done work with Marvel. He wrote some X-Men comics and some Marvel Adventures works, which are kind of some all-ages Marvel comic books that are really fantastic. And this project is of interest to him because he loves maybe kind of some of that Doctor Who DNA in him. Found some kind of Venn diagram overlap with how Big Shoulders does a great job, or we're striving to do a great job, I should say, of blending the mundane with the cosmic and looking at kind of the crossroad journeys folks can take in a city like Chicago. Like I know I certainly found as I crossed through and now live here full time that this is the crossroad city, has been for a long time and still very much is today as we're trying to figure out which crossroads Challengers Comics and Conversations we're at.
Is it true that you met your wife the first day you landed in Chicago?
It is. Yeah, it sounds a little too good to be true and kind of feels that way. But I met my wife, my friend Greg had picked me, and I actually have a character in the book named Greg. I only just put that together. Picked me up from the airport. I'd just gotten a job in Chicago. Still had luggage in the car, and we went to Duffy's Bar and Grill on Division, and I met my now wife, then and there.
Again, a great scene in the movie. Your whole life is playing out like a terrific movie, and it all surrounds this new comic book series. And this is going to be six issues. Is that correct, John?
That's correct. Yeah. So we, as Steve mentioned, we on Kickstarter, if you look up Big Shoulders, you'll see we have the first eight pages there. As of right now, that's the bulk of the work we've completed. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to raise more via Kickstarter, Scott Gray, the artist, you know, it will take him several months to illustrate. It'll take him at least a month to illustrate one issue, so mm-hmm. it would be several to get all the way there. So we're trying to raise some funds to make sure he's adequately compensated for his work, as well as the work of our colorist. And then the goal is to complete these six issues and tell really almost an anthology of stories, multiple storylines, all with the theme of crossing through Chicago, mm-hmm. And that the mundane meets the cosmic, and really looking at things through a very hopeful lens. Mm-hmm. You know, seeing the city as a place where dreams can come true, and do. In fact.
Yeah,
I love this whole concept, John. If you can hold on for a couple of seconds, we're going to take a break, and during the break, we will post a link to the Kickstarter page on our Facebook page. So. We'll take a break and stick around. A lot more to come at WGN.
Sky looking over a city of shoulders. I needed more than just a warm coat. The second I saw a face in Chicago.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. A song about Chicago, the city of big shoulders, and we're talking about Big Shoulders, which is a terrific comic that is in need of your help right now.
It's in its infancy.
Yeah.
It's going to be a six-issue full-color comic series, and the guy that's writing the comic series is with us on the line, John Dudley. And John, I'm curious, Scott Gray is the terrific artist that's going to be bringing this to life, bringing your stories to life. How is he capturing images of Chicago? Because he's doing, what I've seen, he's doing a darn good job of catching really the intricacies of some of the architecture of the city. How is that happening?
Yeah, it's fascinating because, Scott, we're creating such a Chicago-centric story, and Scott has never been to Chicago. Which is kind of a funny wrinkle to what we're putting together. But I actually think in how we're trying to bring the cosmic into the mundane of, you know, our day-to-day lives, he does a great job of bringing the fantasy. You know, that comics as a storytelling medium really lends itself to the fantastic and the surreal and the most expressive art possible, and that's what Scott brings. And as a writer himself, I really love how he thinks about things in such a multifaceted way, including the city.
Some of his art looks like something. It's very similar to something you would see in Chicago, but he's adapted it just a hair.
A good example is Shuba's, wonderful music venue on the north side of Chicago. So you look at it and you go, well, that looks just like Shuba's, but it's not. So is he looking at pictures? Are you sending him images, or is he just going online and saying, show me Chicago?
I love that you pointed that out. Yeah, that's Shuba's is one great example. That's the music venue I always loved and discovered a lot of great music there. But yeah, we've put a kind of a fantasy veneer over the city, to the point where even locales I use, and I did share photo reference in that exact example with him, mm-hmm. and we've intentionally put a veneer of fantasy over everything, including a lot of specific locations. We call it the fire pit. the fire escape.
The fire escape.
And instead of Shuba's. We try to change things just a little bit. Mm-hmm. In other cases, kind of go much further than that. All of the storylines we follow here in this story do end up having, you know, some pretty fantastical elements. There's one storyline that's very sci-fi. It's two FBI agents, and we call that one The Odd Couple Meets the X-Files as they cross through Chicago on an investigation.
Good.
We also have a band, and this is a good kind of young dreamer one of the artists that aren't quite there yet. I might see a little bit of myself in that storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got a lot of spirit, and they think they have their big break, and so they're the opener for the opener mm-hmm. on a Tuesday night at the Fire Escape.
Right.
Ouch.
The lead singer of that band, Broken Ore, is Dave Bogusky.
A good Chicago name.
Great name.
Yeah, great Chicago name.
you can read some of the plot if you take a look at the Big Shoulders Kickstarter page, and if you go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and Johnny just put up a link to the Big Shoulders Kickstarter page, and I love it because I've spent more time than I should going back over and over some of the pages that you put up there, and
it's beautiful.
Can't wait for it to come out.
And honestly, John, you're doing really well with the Kickstarter campaign because you have an $8,000 goal. You're over $5,000 on that. Obviously, there are people that are excited, as we are, about seeing Chicago being depicted in a comic book series. So, you know, good luck to you.
And by the way, I have one thought. Should you ever want to, some Saturday night, if you would like to bring your camera and come on up to our studio on the 18th floor at 303 East Wacker, you wouldn't believe some of the visuals you could get and send across to the UK for a possible adaptation.
For Big Shoulders. Yeah,
Steve. Yeah, I might have to hold you to that. That's a lovely offer.
Well,
I want to see that view.
When is in a perfect world the $8,000 goal is met? What's the target date? When do you hope to have this? As you say,
for the first issue.
For the first issue, what are we looking at?
Well, fingers crossed. It's still very much an if.
Mm-hmm.
I'm optimistic, but yeah, could definitely use any help if this sounds interesting to anyone. We're saying November. We'd have the first issue out. That's subject to change, of course, and I like to think that's a bit conservative.
Mm-hmm.
We might be able to beat that goal, but that's a realistic timeline to get the first issue printed and in the hands of the backers.
Okay.
And then, of course, it will be for sale more widely from there, but those that back the campaign will... You know, the early adapters will get their names in a thank you page on the book.
Cool.
And we'll get advanced copies of the book. And actually, we have a limited edition cover from Charlie Adler, which was an artist most famous for being the artist of The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A very popular comic series, even before it was a very extremely popular television show. Charlie was very gracious. He's an old friend of Scott's over in the UK to give us an alternate cover to the book.
Cool.
It's a limited edition only for the Kickstarter.
That's awesome. Well, I tell you what, I think you know that we are very much in support of it, and we'll remind people that they can check out the Kickstarter page. You do us a favor, and you stay in touch with us, John. It's a pleasure to meet you, and fingers crossed, good luck to you.
And again, if you want to check it out, go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and you can see a link to the Kickstarter page for Big Shoulders. I can't wait for this.
We'll take a quick break and come right back on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, Shy Coltrane, Thunder and Lightning.
Good song.
Yeah, good song. Not good weather, because sadly we're seeing more thunder and lightning in and around Chicago.
Listener from Poplar Grove And by the way, you can check in with us and give us a weather report at 312-981-7200. You can talk to us on the radio or you can text us. Poplar Grove checking in to say heavy rain. We've had 2.57 inches in an hour. Wow. Mm. Nasty thunder and lightning, too. Looks like it's headed your way. Have a good evening.
Yeah, I'm looking at the radar, and it does look like it's headed our way. The National Weather Service, as you heard, did issue a severe thunderstorm warning for Kane County, and that goes until, I'm reading the scroll, is it until 11:10?
Well, they've changed it then. It had been much later in the evening. And again, it depends upon where you are. We're getting reports from some folks who are south and southwest, and they're saying, hey, for a change, it's passing us by. A listener on the north side in Lincoln Square says, I'm keeping my ear tuned to the jet noise of planes landing at O'Hare. When that goes quiet, that means there's a temporary ground stop in effect due to weather. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I check flight radar 24 on occasion for insight as well. Boy, there are times when we're kind of oblivious to it, but then when and this happened to me the other day, I said, wow, there's a lot of plane activity. And yeah. Then it was like that. I couldn't get away from it. It was just one mm-hmm. after another. I thought, what's going on? Weather was good. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Well, there was one time when we were at Coletti's restaurant, and the planes were going over like crazy, and we were in their outdoor eating area, and I started timing it, and it was one plane every 23 seconds.
Yes.
For roughly an hour and a half.
Yeah, yeah. Low, too. Very yeah. low. So again, you can give us a report at 312-981-7200. We're getting out all over the place tonight. I'd like to just give a special shout out to San Francisco for tuning in.
Yeah, hey, San Francisco.
For tuning in this evening. And can I just share with you the from the serious to the silly, my favorite meme today related to weather is a picture of a young man who's watering the grass, and the meme reads, the weatherman said, dress for the mid-80s. And he's wearing an outfit just like guys would have worn in the mid-80s, as in the year, like 85, 86. The short track shorts, the sweat socks up to the knees, the high-top gym shoes, the T-shirt. I don't know many guys that wore crop tops, and this dude's wearing a crop top. I don't remember that being a thing. Well, wait a minute. I did date a guy that came to pick me up at the house wearing a crop top. That was weird. That was very weird now that I think about it.
Is that the first and only date?
That was the only date.
Okay.
Yeah. When you open the door, I was a cleaning woman at this time, and I worked at AB Dick as a cleaning woman overnight, which was a great gig because it was just a bunch of young men and me and a bunch of Polish women. And on our lunch break, because I always thought I was going to become a teacher, I had great fun gathering them together in a conference room. These would be the Polish women who'd been there forever.
As opposed to gathering the young men together in the
yes,
conference room.
This point. And we would have English lessons. It was really fun because I was in heaven.
Of course you were.
And they wanted to know about swearing. What words were appropriate and what words were inappropriate. I'll never forget.
They had their priorities.
We're writing on the blackboard swear words. And I thought, oh, we better be sure to clean this blackboard well before we leave the conference room. But it was one of the guys that I worked with. So he's wearing coveralls every night, right, as a cleaning dude. When he comes to pick me up to take me to see the New York Dolls, I should have known right then. When we were going to see the New York Dolls, right. He was wearing satin pants and a satin tied in the front crop top.
Okay.
And I opened the door and went, oh, I don't think I've dressed appropriately. I was really, really underdressed for the night. He was the star.
Well, back to the idea of guys wearing shorts. I showed you a picture that cracked me up. If you were a fan of Hopalong Cassidy, and people are wondering, where the heck is this going?
From the New York Dolls to Hopalong Cassidy.
Bill Boyd, who played Hopalong Cassidy.
Yes.
Whoop. Oops. Okay.
There we go. Another weather
thingy. We'll read a National Weather Service. has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for DuPage County in Illinois beginning at 10:43 and ending at 11:43.
Okay.
So DuPage...
Yeah, that's been off and on for most of the evening. They're just getting hammered out there.
Yeah. I'm not sure I know where Johnsburg is, but a listener is checking in from Johnsburg saying that very, very heavy rain there. And then our listener on the north side that was monitoring the flight activity says it's gone quiet, and flight radar confirms that things are quiet at the airport.
By the way, not a commercial, but we are Sea Crane Radio fans. The Sea Crane Skywave Radio. Yeah. We have three of these, and one of the bands you have is the band that allows you to listen to your local airport communications between the tower and the pilots. It is so cool, and we've done that, listening to communications at O'Hare.
Okay, before we take a break,
Bill
Boyd, Hopalong Cassidy, shorts.
And came across this picture, just popped up in my Facebook feed. When he wasn't playing Hopalong on the screen, Bill Boyd liked to golf. And there is this picture of Bill. It must have been in the late 40s, early 50s. And he's in mid-swing. And it's the he doesn't have his Hopalong Cassidy hat on. He has a golfing hat on and a short-sleeve shirt. And shorts.
Short shorts.
It was just the oddest Hopalong Cassidy? What?
Yeah, that is weird. And this may be one of our weirder conversations, to go from the New York Dolls to Hopalong Cassidy in practically the same breath. And by the way, I just posted that goofy meme on the Steve and Johnny page, so you all know what I'm talking about. The weatherman said dress for the mid-80s, and the dudes apparently dressed.
And somebody from 847 just... See, people half listen to what we're saying. And someone just posted, pilots swearing? No, we weren't talking about pilots swearing. We were talking about Johnny working with some Polish women, teaching them English. They wanted to know
how to swear. Yes.
Separate part of the conversation had to do with the weather and the Sea Crane band that allows you to listen. No, the never. Pilots, well, they may be. Well, I don't know. On a night like tonight, who knows?
But you never hear that on the radio.
But that's a classic example of... You half listen and you take a little bit from this conversation, a little bit from that, as we do also.
We're going to take a break and kind of regroup. Is that okay to say?
And are we going to be regrouping with the guys or with the Polish women?
Which are we? Stop. You're listening to WGN.
You know you make me want to shout. Oh, my hand.
King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. And we're going to do a few shouts, but also we want to acknowledge that the weather is starting to get a little nastier in the Chicago, immediate Chicago area.
224 area code checked in to say Boone County to Lindenhurst, awful, awful conditions, tree limbs down, deep standing water on Route 173 closed just west of Richmond. Not sure why. Police are detouring cars. Several periods of hard, hard rain. Can only see and drive at about 20, 25 miles an hour. Getting a lot of those reports.
Let's see. My generator is running hard. 519 homes now without power in Richmond, Spring Grove, Johnsburg area.
Also, Johnsburg, I just learned that's in McHenry County, so thank you for that information. It's pouring in Elgin, Naperville, checking in. We've got a bunch of people from Naperville saying, hey, we don't have anything yet. Sit tight. We'll keep you posted. Poplar Grove also checking in. Inches of rain in a very, very short period of time. Bonnie and George are listening in Elgin, where it's been raining for some time now. Robin is in Dyer. Bonnie, our buddy in Butternut, Wisconsin. She's probably getting hammered, too, because mm-hmm. Wisconsin's where we first got the worst yeah. of the rain reports. Stacy's in Algonquin. George Clements is in Augusta, Georgia, where it's mighty, mighty hot. Sherry Hanrahan is in Romeoville. Lynn's in Park Ridge. Mary Jo's in Effingham. Joyce is in Bloomingdale. Wally Powers is listening to us in Pinehurst, North Carolina. And about an hour ago, we played that goofy song by Bobby Goldsboro.
A wonderful song.
Thanks to Max
Goldsboro.
Armstrong, who was listening yeah. to us. The old
Our good friend, Max Armstrong.
Your good friend, Max Armstrong, in North Carolina, said we were coming in great. Mary Gold is in Tinley Park. Nora Brozanski's in Aurora. Christine Failing is in Plainfield, listening on her Sea Crane radio. Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru, mm-hmm. She did some good ones tonight. Patricia Human is in Scranton, Pennsylvania, streaming over the app. Skip Pluchinski is in Morton Grove. Susan Powell is listening out of Memphis. Sharon Malone is
Memphis. Thank you very much.
I waited. It took you three counts until you got to Memphis. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. Margaret Moore is in Albuquerque. Dwayne Parkinson is, he says, you turned me on to Brewster Rocket, which I enjoy to this day.
Yeah.
Oh, that
Brewster
was,
Rocket, space guy.
Oh, we used to.
We used to do a morning comic book.
Comic strip.
Comic strips.
Yes, yeah. It was a live read of Brewster Rocket. Nancy Witt is listening to us in Milwaukee tonight, and she said, oh, darn storms, but GN 720 is coming in strong. Nancy Taffy, your favorite name, and her caramel apples watching and listening from West Dallas over the internet.
That's got to be a group. Nancy Taffy and the caramel apples.
Oh, Barb Wenis is in
Singing Candyman.
Muskegon, Michigan. And she's listening online. Too much static on her radio, so she had to go to
that's just us.
Listening online. Dorothy Orsini is listening, and River the Dog is listening with her in Pell Lake, Wisconsin. Nancy Hollins is in
just
northern suburbs of Chicago. Helen Thomas in K-Town, Kenosha. John Goodley is tuned in. Actually, he's going to be listening to us on the podcast. So, hi, John, when you listen to the podcast. Rita Reggie is in Fort Worth, Texas. Jean Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Susie Schimmels and Glenn Allen. Brian Lefevre, thank goodness he's tuned in because I know someone in Chicago is listening. He's in Bridgeport. Beverly Goodall tuned in. Judy B. is sending us a big hello from Orlando, Florida. Robin Aiken is in Port Charlotte, Florida. Bonnie Nelson is listening on the old-fashioned way on the radio. Eric Baum is in Wells Beach, Maine. Donna Youngheim is tuned in Oak Lawn. Peter Jukabowicz is in Citrus County, Florida. Florida, again, very well yeah. represented tonight. San Antonio, Florida. Lynn Kinzer is tuned in listening over the internet.
Didn't you say it was actually warmer in Chicago today than it was in our part
yep.
of Florida?
Yep. But at least it was really, really humid in both places.
Yeah.
So our buddy Chuck Snitchler is tuned in. And Chuck, in the Steve and Johnny, or actually it's not the Steve and Johnny, it's the WGN past and present mm-hmm. Group that you can find on Facebook. He unearthed this interview that Steve Dale did with us in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
I should repost this on our page because... I read it and I said, did we say those things?
And that was for a magazine called, what, Radio?
Inside Radio? Chicago.
Because for a while, there was a monthly, it was a Chicago radio
A glossy,
magazine.
Yeah, yeah, glossy magazine. Very well done.
Yeah.
Our buddy Bobby Danos, Bobby Samich, is listening in Danos, Illinois. Yeah. Helen Bolgren is tuned in, and Jean Kipker is our listener in San Francisco tuned in tonight.
Hey, Jean.
Yeah. So we, as I said, we are really well represented in Florida. In Chicago. Yeah. Thank goodness for Brian. We are being heard right here in the city of Chicago. And we're going to keep you up to date on weather, no matter what's going on tonight. Pouring like crazy in St. Charles, the 630 area code checks in to tell us. 815 says, Stephen Johnny, my power went out while I was drying off my car. He was shining up his El Camino, his 72 El Camino, getting ready for a car show tomorrow in Yorkville. And... The rain rolled through before he could get the car in the garage. Mm-hmm. So we had to spend the next hour drying the car off. And I just saw lightning here in downtown Chicago.
Yeah, it's heading our way.
Yeah.
By the way, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. You will see the picture Johnny posted of the guy dressed for the mid-80s. You will also see the link to the Big Shoulders Kickstarter project. You will also see some terrific fireworks pictures that Johnny took tonight.
Not my best pictures because for some reason they've moved again a little bit to the south of us. I sent him a memo on them. I said, no, you got to move over.
But they're still pretty cool pictures, and I love the reflection on the lake.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
And then also our pictures driving into the WGN Radio studios before the storm. So all of that is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show.
And as I'm scrolling here, I'm looking at, Randall's checking in from Paducah, Kentucky. Thank you, Randall. And Dean is listening in Indy. We appreciate that. So, again, if I missed you during the shout-out, I'll catch you next week, because every week when we post what's coming up on the show, we like to ask you to tell us where you're listening and from, and also how you're listening to us. And if it's on the radio, that's great. And many of you have decided to purchase the Sea Crane Radio because it gets you what you want.
It really does. And we're not saying this just because Sea Crane is a sponsor. We've been fans of Sea Crane for years. I don't know how many Sea Crane radios we have, because we've got various configurations of the Sea Crane radios, their Wi-Fi radio.
Well, actually, they became a sponsor because they heard us raving about them on the air.
Yeah.
And that was so long ago when we didn't have the internet and people wanted to know how they could get a long-distance station. So that's what we told him to do.
We'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. Stay with us. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love that.
Where's the popcorn?
Yeah.
Every time I hear that, I'm ready for the movie on TCM.
Those of you who are fans, as we are, of TCM, Turner Classic Movies, know that's the little bumper they do before their feature presentation.
That's right. Well, our feature presentation tonight is a conversation with a guy that we met earlier this year when we talked about his book on the Oscars. He's Dave Karger. He is on TCM, Turner Classic Movies. He's a film expert and journalist, and I'm so happy we've got an excuse to get him back on the radio. How are you tonight, Dave?
Hey, Dave.
I'm doing fine. Hello to you both.
Good. So we want to talk about what's happening tomorrow night on TCM. It's a little something you've got planned. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, so every month at TCM, we have what we call our guest programmer, where we invite someone, either an actor or a filmmaker, or someone who's got something interesting going on in the film world, to be our guest programmer and come on the network with one of our hosts and choose a couple of films that person wants us to watch and discuss for whatever reason. And tomorrow night, our guest programmer for the month of June is Kevin Costner, who, as I'm sure many of your listeners know, has a new movie coming out on Friday called Horizon, an American saga that he co-wrote and produced and directed and stars in, an epic three-hour Western that he's been working on for decades. Mm-hmm. It's finally now coming out, and he was nice enough to agree to come on TCM with me and select two classic movies that inspired him specifically while he was working on this new movie, Horizon. So he chose two great movies, which we can talk about, and he had terrific reasons for choosing them both.
Is Kevin Costner as cool a guy as I think he would be?
Yes. He is. He's low-key, but he's very smart and very kind and kind of dryly funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people will enjoy listening to him talk tomorrow. He and I are on together. I know you guys are Central Time, so it'll be 7 o'clock p.m. tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. He and I will introduce The Sand Pebbles, which is a great Steve McQueen movie from the mid-1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And then at, I think, 10:15 Central Time, he and I will come back on for Rio Grande, the John Ford and John Wayne Western. So Kevin and I will be talking before and after each movie plays on TV.
Now,
he's fascinating.
Rio Grande was not a big surprise. I thought that's a brilliant choice, 1950 classic. I was a little surprised about the Sand Pebbles.
It is surprising that he chose for his first film a movie that is not a Western, because, of course, his new movie, Horizon, is a Western. But one of the reasons he chose The Sand Pebbles is that it's a movie that's directed by Robert Wise, who did movies like The Sound of Music and West Side Story, but this is a very different film. He really loves this movie. He loves Steve McQueen, Kevin Costner does, and he loves this performance that Steve McQueen gives in The Sand Pebbles. And for anyone who doesn't know this movie, the character that Steve McQueen plays is a Navy engineer who's working on a ship in 1925 going up the Yangtze River in China. And the character that he plays is a very mysterious guy, a man of few words. And when you watch Horizon, Kevin Costner's new movie, you'll see that Kevin Costner plays a man who's very mysterious, a man of few words. So I think that The Sand Pebbles has been a movie that Kevin has loved and revered for years, but I think it's also particularly germane to this particular character that he plays in Horizon and the film. And not for nothing, both films, The Sand Pebbles and Horizon, are 3 hours long. And Kevin Costner, in our interview, makes the case for why some movies should be that long. And if they can hold your attention, then they deserve to be that long. And I think Horizon is one of those films.
That's brilliant.
I love that.
Yeah. I've never, to be honest with you, I've never really had the desire to see Sand Pebbles. It was not one of those movies that went, oh, well, I've got to see that before I die.
But now we will.
Now I want to see it based on this inspiring him, because I'm just fascinated by him as a filmmaker. And he put up his own money for this movie, right?
He did, and apparently as much as $38 million of his own money. And for people who have not been following this whole saga, this movie, Horizon, is a film that Kevin Costner has been wanting to make for decades. And in fact, it's not just one movie, it's going to be as many as four movies. So the first one comes out this Friday. The second one, which is also done, comes out in August. And now Kevin Costner is filming the third and raising money for the fourth film. So the entire thing is going to be a 12-hour project. That's 4 3-hour movies.
Wow.
So it's ambitious, to say the least.
Yeah.
Is this in part one of the reasons why he said he is not returning to Yellowstone?
He says that it's not a complete causality from one to the other. He said that he signed on to Yellowstone for it to be initially just one season, but then they wanted him to do more, and that turned into five seasons. And he is adamant that he did contractually what he was supposed to do. They wanted him to continue, but it was beyond the scope of what he initially agreed. So I don't think it's because he was making Horizon that he stopped doing Yellowstone, but I think Horizon is the priority for him right now, and I think he feels like the journey on Yellowstone has kind of gone as far as it needs to have for him. Certainly, he also thinks there can be great stories to be told with Yellowstone for another season or two, but just without his character. But I will say one quick thing that I forgot to say, Johnny, since you were a little bit hesitant to watch The Sand Pebbles, but it sounds like you're going to now. This is the one and only movie that Steve McQueen ever got an Oscar nomination for. This is his one Oscar nomination. So I think it's worth seeing just for that, so you can appreciate and experience Steve McQueen's one Oscar-nominated
film. And that in itself seems like that was wrong. That was just, that should not have been the case. But we're talking with Dave Karger, and we're talking about this special evening with Kevin Costner, who just... he's just an amazing human being. I hope people will go to see a three-hour movie. We'll come back and talk more about Kevin and Westerns, and whether or not Dave thinks people will, in fact, embrace a three-hour movie, ultimately a 12-hour movie, here on WGN.
I pick myself up and I run towards the only light I see. Try to stay between the lines before it catches up with me. Before it catches up with me.
restless in the night, and it's calling out for me like a prison full of ghosts, and it just won't let me be. Just won't let me be. And I'm so tired trying to find a way, but trouble keeps falling heavy like the rain, heavy like the rain.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Believe it or not, if you've never heard them sing, that is Kevin Costner and his group Modern West, Heavy Like the Rain. And Kevin Costner is the guest programmer, along with Dave Karger, that you will be able to tune in and watch Sunday evening on TCM.
Right, 7 o'clock. It's going to be Costner talking about the two movies that really, really have affected him as a filmmaker. And Dave, I said before we took a break that we're talking about a three-hour movie. In your opinion, do you think that there's an audience for a three-hour movie? I at home I can see it, but at a movie theater, what's your thought on that?
I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I from what I'm hearing from people who are way smarter about these things than I am and follow these things much more closely than I do, the movie Horizon, Kevin Costner's film, is not on track to do very well in its opening weekend. My hope is that there will be enough people who do go see it in that opening weekend who tell their friends, no, don't worry. Yes, it didn't do great. Trust me, it's really interesting. You want to get invested in all of these characters, and there's many, many characters that he introduces in this chapter one, as he's calling it, of this film series Horizon. So I'm worried about how it's going to do. I'm hopeful that it will do okay, but I don't think it's going to do great the first weekend. The question is, how will it do in the subsequent weekend?
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, it's really interesting. It's beautiful. It's a great entry in a genre that we don't see much of on the big screen these days, and I hope people do go see it.
Obviously, we haven't had the chance to talk with Kevin Costner as you have, but it has been my perception from a distance that Kevin Costner increasingly has grown very passionate about the Western genre, and this is kind of where his heart is right now in things that he's going to get involved in. Is that your takeaway?
Absolutely. He really does think that this landscape and this time period and this whole concept of moving west and everything that went with it, much of which he's ashamed about, you know, the way that our ancestors behaved. He thinks there's a fascinating story and fascinating lessons to be told there, and I think it's no coincidence that his music, which of course you just played, which is beautiful, is in the same line, the same genre as this new film series. I think, and I even said in our interview, I said, Kevin, I think you are the guardian of this entire film genre right now, and he did not disagree with me. So I think this is a project that is very meaningful to him. He is not giving up on it. He wants to keep going. The question is, what's going to happen, you know, once this first one comes out? If it doesn't do great, you know, does that jeopardize the ones in the future? I hope not. I would like to see him, you know, bring this whole vision to fruition, and only time will tell.
I think a lot of people will approach it from the, oh, it's 3 hours at the movie theater, I'll wait, I'll stream it, I'll watch it at home. But I get the impression this is the kind of movie that you really do need to see on the big screen to really appreciate what he's captured. Would you agree?
I do think it's special to see a film like this on a big screen. The landscapes are gorgeous, but to your point, people are used to seeing similar landscapes on their TV in Yellowstone. So I think for some people, they'll say, oh, this is just like watching three episodes back-to-back of Yellowstone. I'm going to wait. I think for people who are interested in this genre, who are interested in what he's doing, I would encourage them to go see it on a big screen and experience it like, you know, movies are meant to be seen.
Yeah.
And, you know, the second movie that he and I talk about on TCM is Rio Grande, this great John Wayne Western directed by John Ford from 1950, which was, you know, kind of the heyday of these John John Ford, John Wayne westerns in the late 40s and early 50s, and those were meant to be seen on the big screen, and that's how people experienced them, with all the scenery of Monument Valley and Moab, Utah, and all that. So it's very special to see it in that format.
Let me turn the tables on you and ask you personally, out of all the westerns, what are your favorite ones?
I really like a western called Ride the High Country,
which
is a later western with Randolph Scott and Joel McRae. And it's I love Randolph Scott just in general, and it's a really interesting kind of, as I said, later western where it became a little bit more socially conscious. But I also really appreciate this, what we call the Cavalry Trilogy, which is Rio Grande, Fort Apache, and She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. These three westerns that John Ford, John Wade made in the late 1940s and early 50s. Those are some of my favorites.
Well, let me just tell you that when I thought, okay, what's my favorite western movie? And I guess it goes back to movies that had hot guys in it. And Long Riders, with the first movie that came to mind. I love that movie. I probably saw it a half dozen times. And it's not... It's not a great piece of film, but boy, as an 18-year-old girl, it was the western of my dreams.
and Rio Bravo is one of those that if it's on at 3 in the morning and I'm channel scanning, I'm there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, a western with great singing like Dean Martin and you know, Ricky. Come on.
Yes. How weird was that when they said, let's get Dean Martin and Ricky Nelson at the same time for the movie?
And Dave, help me with this. There were basically two movies with the same script. It was Rio Bravo, and what was the other one? It had,
James Caan?
James Caan was in one of them, and Robert Mitchum was in the other.
Playing the sheriff. Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Our audience is so smart. They're probably frantically getting to their phones so they can answer that for us.
But as I recall, they were basically the same script, just insert different people with John Wayne.
Yeah, but you had James Caan wearing a very cool leather outfit. That was really amazing.
Really stood the test of time, Rio Bravo has, thanks to Angie Dickinson and that great music in that one.
That's right. Well, I am so happy for you because this is going to be so cool on Sunday night, 7 o'clock Chicago time. You get to sit down with Kevin Costner, and I got to tell you, I should send you a link to what happened when he was in Chicago at our sister station WGN TV. They decided they would have him on the morning news, kind of a news zoo show.
So as he's walking through the halls at WGN TV, different western characters keep popping out as
the
he's
staff,
walking down the hall.
The staff,
I saw this on his Instagram.
Yes, the staff dressed in characters from all of his movies, and he's looking going, wait, oh, and then it was like three characters in, he realized what they were doing, which was just wonderful. It was so funny.
It was brilliant. He seemed to enjoy it. I saw that clip. It was great.
Well,
so before we let you go, blatant plug, your book, how's it doing? Anything new we should know about that?
You're so nice to ask, Steve. So I did write a book, and you and I, we all spoke about it earlier this year. It's called 50 Oscar Nights, where I interviewed 50 Academy Award winners, from Julia Roberts and Nicole Kidman to Steven Spielberg and Martin Scorsese and Elton John, all about the day that they won their Oscars. I'm happy to say the whole first printing sold out.
Yay.
They're on the second printing, and I've still been traveling the country doing book signings and talking about it, and it's been a real pleasure, but it's available in bookstores and Amazon and anywhere people find their books.
And it's a beautiful book, 50 Oscar Nights.
When are you going to get to Chicago?
Yeah, come to Chicago sometime.
That's a great question. I have not been there on this tour. One of these days I will make it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to watching you on TV Sunday night at 7 o'clock
Thanks,
Chicago
Jonathan.
Time. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye now.
I hope we can get him in studio sometime.
Yeah. What a great gig.
It's a great gig, and honestly, not just because we had him on. We're going to watch the whole thing. We're going to record the whole thing.
Yeah.
And watch both movies. And Kevin Costner is one of these guys, I just get the feeling he's for real. And while obviously he wants to make money with this, I really think he's passionate about preserving this Western movie genre.
Did Dave say $32 million he put up to make this happen? That's crazy. And I just hope people do go to see it. And like Dave said, I'm a little worried that people will be put off by the length of the movie and the fact that it's a Western. I like to believe that there's an audience for Westerns, but we'll see. This time next week, we'll see.
By the way, we have to break for news, but just a schedule update. We wouldn't talk to Patrick until next week, but because of some cyber stuff that's been going on, we're going to have a quick conversation with Patrick Crispin coming up about some of the hackings that have been going on.
Yes.
So stick around. More coming up at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We said we were going to keep you updated on the weather all night long, and oh boy,
yep.
Has it hit downtown Chicago. Right now,
wow.
Up the outside of our windows, I think the pier is still there.
You know what? I'm not crazy about sitting in this glass box with lightning all around us. It's very unsettling. And literally within the newscast, we went from being able to see the cars on the street to no, it's all just a blur, a rainy blur.
So those of you in the suburbs and up in Milwaukee that had some hellacious weather, pretty much what we're getting right now.
Constant lightning activity, too.
Yeah. And again, as we said earlier, just be careful.
If you have to be out.
If you have to be out, be really careful. Well, but if you're at home, think about unplugging, if you have a desktop computer, unplugging some of your electronic devices, because this is nasty.
Temperature has dropped a good 10 degrees in the last 45 minutes, and we've been watching this since we walked into the studio at 9 o'clock, and it was happening all around us. What a light show we've got here. Up until like the last 15 minutes, and now it's here. It's downtown. We've had reports from Skokie. We've had reports from Evanston. All of our surrounding suburbs saying, it's really, really windy. And the rain is coming down fast.
And literally, the lightning is like about once every 10 seconds. And I'm trying to think of a website that we should suggest that you go to where you could see some of this.
Cars are pulling over, too. I'm noticing that. So they're not even on the expressway. They're just going toward the Lakeshore Drive ramp.
And we can hardly see Lakeshore Drive from our vantage point now.
So if my voice goes up a few octaves, it's because it's really, really active out there. And I don't like storms anyway. Some people do, not me.
And anything you need to know about, we'll have it for you. The latest is the National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning now for DuPage County, Cook County, Kane County. That started at 11:20, and it goes till 3:20.
Oh.
This morning. So that's flash flood warning.
So they've extended that by a good two and a half hours. If you're driving on Irving Park, I always think of that underpass on Irving Park that floods. It seems like as soon as the first raindrop hits, for some reason it floods. So be really careful if you're out around the airport.
And if you're, we normally take the drive.
Yes.
Going back home. If you're going to be on the drive, if you are in those northbound lanes, be aware it's probably going to be flooded.
Yeah.
So be very, very careful.
A lot of standing water, especially on the outside lane, and it ponds very easily on the inside lane. So we try to stick to the middle of the road if possible.
And if you have an SUV, for heaven's sake, slow down and don't just say, oh, I'm up here in the big SUV. I don't have to worry. I'm going to splash everybody and I'm going to keep going. Which reminds me, and after midnight, we're going to be talking with Tom Appel. The dumbest car commercial I think I've seen recently is it the Range Rover, Land Rover, the one where they show it driving through the flood? No, that's stupid. Don't do that. Don't encourage people to do that.
The first time I saw that, I looked at you and I said, why? Why is that selling the vehicle? I don't want to be driving through a flooded area. And I think it's in Iceland, right? I don't know what it is, but
it's just a dumb idea to...
Don't do it.
I mean, it's one thing to say your vehicle can do this. It's another thing to show that repeatedly, and you know you're encouraging some people who are going to say, oh, not like this. Well, I got my Range Rover, so let me just boogie on down.
No,
you're an idiot. Strong message to follow.
That's right. Okay, you can get to us at 312-981-7200. If you have some weather info that you'd like to pass along to us, we would appreciate it. 312-981-7200. At the start of the show, we received a text from a listener who said he had just checked into a hotel, a Hilton hotel, and he said he was informed, because it was a lengthy check-in procedure, that there had been a cyber attack nationwide affecting the hotel. And as a result of that, they had...
Affecting, I think, all the Hilton hotels.
That's exactly what he said. And he said they had to resort to doing everything the old-fashioned way with paper and pen and handing out keys, to which I said, you mean they actually still have keys to get into doors in the hotel? But that prompted us to do a little bit more investigating, and we turned to Patrick Crispin, who's just going to join us for a few minutes after a long day today. How are you tonight, Patrick?
Woohoo! How's everybody doing?
Well, so far we're 18 floors up, so hopefully we will survive the flooding.
And sitting in a box with what looks like fireworks going on outside the window. There's so much lightning activity. But that's not why we got you on the radio. So what did you learn about that goofy story that the listener said he experienced tonight?
So two things are going on. Basically, Hilton has one of two systems. One of them is called OnQ. The other one is called PEP, Property Engagement Platform. And if you're a Hilton property, you use this sort of as the back of house software package that handles basically everything you and I think of when we think of a hotel. So it's the system that the hotel staff use to check in guests, to charge the guest folios, to import reservations. Pretty much, if you want to do the nightly audit, anything you're doing that's going on. And for the past 24 to 48 hours, both OnQ, which is the old system, and the property engagement platform, which is the new system, they've been up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down, and nobody really knows why.
Really?
A lot of people are thinking that it's a cyber attack. Uh-huh. We don't know yet, and Hilton hasn't actually come out and said it's a cyber attack. They're saying it's a single sign-on issue. But what's happening is at Hilton Properties, and Hilton has so many different products there, so it's not just Hilton's, but, you know, this is the Embassy Suites, the hotels are not able to check in guests. They're not able to check guests. They're not able to take the inventory each night of who's in the hotel. So they don't know what rooms are occupied. They can't charge credit cards.
Wow.
Keys have stopped working. Pretty much it's every problem you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
Hilton is basically telling all the people who are behind the desk, if you can't log in, keep trying to log in, because that's the only fix we have. We don't know what's going on right now. This was a while ago when they said that. But this does seem to be a global outage, handling both OnQ, which is the old system, and PEP. And it's United States, UK, Japan, and it's big. This is a big issue.
Patrick, I could be wrong. But when the last time we were out in Pasadena to see you, I recall the reservation people at the Hilton we were staying at saying they were recovering from some kind of a computer problem when we were out there. And when was that last?
That was in March. Yeah, and they said that they had just recovered from a computer outage.
And they were kind of rebuilding things.
Yeah.
So I wonder if this is related to I don't recall if that was worldwide.
Just that one hotel. Yeah.
Or just the Hilton in Pasadena. I don't know. So if you guys are behind the scenes at any Hilton property, you have my sympathy.
Yeah.
We appreciate all that you've had to do and having to deal with, you know, manually issuing keys, and I night audits have got to be fun. And we really do appreciate you if you're listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's been a rough couple days.
I guess that is amazing. Just for 1 second, I was bellyaching about the fact, well, there are no locks in the door. How can they give you a key to get in the door? How do they know who's in the room? Period. End of story. If you can't do your audit of occupancy, that's crazy.
Yeah, the nightly audit, I don't know how they're doing it. And some people are saying, well, we're not able to run the audit until 6 a.m. or 6:30, and it's still not working. And that's like, you don't wait that long to do the nightly audit.
Really, so really.
This is bad.
Wow. Patrick, sit tight. We'll come right back after a quick break. And again, we are getting reports of very heavy rain all around us. We're all in this together now. The latest are coming in from Oak Lawn. Thunder, lightning, very heavy rain. So far, we still have electricity. Lyle said it's loud. It is banging pretty hard here. Sideways rain, flood warnings, lightning. You just don't want to be out in this. And that's the understatement. We'll keep you posted right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Just a little weather update from downtown Chicago. At least now we can see the drive, and it appears that the worst of the rain is behind us.
And the cars are moving now.
And we're not seeing as much lightning.
Well, I don't know what you're looking at. But
I'm seeing some, but not as much as it was.
It's still making me kind of nervous sitting here in this glass box, 18 stories up. Right now, we're spending a couple minutes with Patrick Crispin, who joins us twice a month to talk about all things related to tech. There were just two really big stories that we wanted to get him to chime in on tonight. One of them was the big Hilton story, the global event that is just making life very difficult at the Hilton Hotel properties. The other one is the car dealerships in North America that have faced major disruptions this week. We'll talk a little bit with Tom Appel about this, but Patrick, have you learned anything new about this business of car dealerships being, having their hands
tied? They can't order their parts now, right?
And they can't sell cars.
Yeah, if you want to run a car dealership, and if you think about the technology that's required to run a car dealership, you've got the financing, you've got the payroll, you've got the parts department, you've got the service department. All those require technology and computers. And there are a couple ways to do it. You can go and buy individual systems, or you can do a soup to nuts approach and hire a company to provide your sort of back of house auto dealer networking and software. And there's a company called CDK Global, and they provide the back of the house networking and sort of sales and platforms and everything for about 15,000 car dealerships in the United States and Canada. It looks like back on Wednesday, they were hacked, and this was an actual hack. There was a cyber attack on their platform. So they proactively just said, nope, we're pulling the plug, and said to all the 15,000 dealerships, sorry, go back to paper, and started rebuilding the system. What we are hearing is that they came back up on Thursday, and it turns out that they had gone to a backup that still had the hackers still in the system.
No.
And it's been bad. So if you have dealt with a car dealership at all, I'm not just saying buying a car, I'm talking about if you've taken your car in for a service in the past couple weeks, keep an eye on your financial statements for the next couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Expect when we're on the air next time, I'll give you an update on what's going on with the story, but this does look like a real hack. The Hilton one, that may be just a single sign-on issue. I'm not sure yet, but CDK Global was hacked. We don't know what data has been taken because they haven't announced that to the public. If any data has been taken, but CDK pulled the plug and they're trying to bring it back up, and it's not working right now. So
yeah,
if you need to go to the car dealer for any sort of repair, add some extra time and just be prepared for things to take a little longer than they normally would.
I'm going to be very curious to see what happens. We just found out about a recall for one of our cars and called the dealership on Saturday, and the guy I talked to was very nice and said, okay, well, we'll order the part and we'll give you a call and let you know when it's in. I'm going to be very curious to see how long this takes.
But now,
whether or not they actually could order the parts.
Yeah. But now all dealerships are not affected by this because they don't all use the CDK.
No.
But a significant
system.
Amount of
dealerships. Yeah, well, 15,000. Yeah.
15,000 is a lot of dealerships. But again, it's sort of the back of the house software. And again, you could either go parts it out and say, okay, I'm just going to do a parts vendor for one company and I'm going to do a finance vendor for another company. Or you just say, I'm going to go to CDK, I'm going to write a check for them, and I'll just write one check for all of my computer systems for my dealership, and that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Because of that, it makes it a really juicy target for cyber criminals, and that's what's happened here.
Maybe a part of a conversation we should have next week, but would I be wrong if I said, although we have had occasional hackings in previous years, oh boy, has 2024 been the year of the hacker.
This has been huge, the number of attacks that have been going on, and I'm concerned we still don't know the breadth and depth of what happened with Cloudflare, and we'll talk more about that when we're online.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for jumping in tonight. I know you guys were at Disney. You're probably exhausted.
By the way, before we let you go, we have to answer a text that came in that wants to know what's the latest on the Lego front.
There are no new Legos being built right now, although Joseph has decided he wants a Lego helicopter now after he rode in the helicopter in Las Vegas.
I see no reason why he shouldn't get one, Patrick.
I literally just answered a text from a listener and said, if we were to get Joseph that Lego helicopter, I think we'd be on the outs for a while. So
we're not going to get Joseph the Lego helicopter.
Wink, wink.
No, we would never do that.
Basically said that we have no room for another Lego set. Right?
No, but you could, like listeners have said, you should be hanging these things from the ceiling. You should be wiring up the ceiling somehow.
So Patrick, if you get us an anonymous Lego helicopter package, it's not from us.
No.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for your time tonight, Patrick. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks.
Bye-bye now.
That's Patrick Crisman. He joins us every other week, and next week he'll be back. And, has this been the year of the hackers.
I know.
Wow.
We should go back.
Going from hospitals to you name it, the major... All major bit. Well, okay, we'll get into it next week. We'll talk with Tom Appel and segue to cars. So stay with us at WGN Radio. Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
It's a groovy little piece of music.
It is. That's one of Tom's tunes. Tom being Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And each time Tom joins us, we share some of Tom's tunes. And the theme for tonight is what, Tom?
The theme is, could be a late night talk show theme.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
That's the first thing I thought when I started hearing that. So who was that and what was that?
That was Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. And the album is called, I think, Blue Note 4003. It's very vague about what the album is actually called. It might be called Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. But anyway, that's from 1958.
1950. I'm just laughing at.
I like that. It's like I'm seeing somebody come out, whether it's Carson or
the curtain opens.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's absolutely that kind of a thing. By the way, we're staying on top of the weather. And while it's a little clearer downtown, it is still significant lightning and rain and thunder.
We found out how soundproof this glass room is, because when we stepped out of the studio during the news,
in the rest of the building, you can hear the thunder.
It's like we're in a bowling alley. It was so incredibly loud. What's it like out in your neck of the woods, Tom?
Not a lot of thunder. I'm seeing a lot of light from my office window. So there's a lightning storm right now.
Yeah. Did you get a lot of rain?
We did, yeah. And my wife and daughter just drove back from Wisconsin.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
94, and they reported heavy, heavy rain.
Yeah.
Well, but if they were driving back from Wisconsin, basically the storm was following them as they came back.
Yeah.
Because starting at 9 o'clock, all the reports were in Wisconsin. We got a text from Evanston that said in 45 minutes they got 2.3 inches of rain.
Wow.
In 45 minutes. They said the ground was dry, so we didn't have any flooding. So that's a good thing. And once again, I'm happy that I pulled the chairs away from the picnic table and stuffed all of my plants underneath the table tonight, because otherwise I'd be fretting over my plants while I was in here on the radio.
By the way, Tom, before we get to any of a number of things, I want to continue a harangue that I started in the last half hour. This kind of weather, driving in wet, potential flooding conditions, I hate, that's with capital H, capital A, capital T, capital E, and 4,000 exclamation points, the most recent Range Rover, Land Rover commercial that shows the SUV driving through the flooded areas. Bad idea. Even if your vehicle can do that, do not encourage your drivers on a night like this to go plowing through a flooded area and create waves up against other cars. Have you seen the commercial? Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I have not, but I do find that disturbing. You don't want to do that for a number of reasons, because you don't know how deep the road is going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just going to become a burden to everybody when your car stops.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see if we can find that on YouTube.
It was in Iceland, and it is a video done in Iceland.
Can you send Tom a copy?
Nobody would have been surprised if... here's a story that I'm reading. It says... because I thought, well, Iceland, why are we going to Iceland for this? But apparently, just south of the Arctic Circle in this spillway, and there's another name for it, but it's just a bunch of letters with a bunch of umlauts over it that I would not want to try to say. The new Range Rover Sport is driving up the spillway, Europe's biggest dam, and driving at a very high rate of speed. In front of the vehicle, 750 tons of water per minute is gushing down as they're driving this vehicle through.
And I want to say we've seen it. Has it been during the Sox games?
Yes.
And literally about five times an afternoon. So this is a major buy for Range Rover. It is a horrible commercial. They should never run, and they should apologize for it. They should take it off immediately. Strong message to follow.
Really? Well, speaking of cars, and Tom joins us a couple times a month to talk about cars. Last half hour, we were talking with Patrick about the Hilton Hotels problems, where they're resorting to paper and pen and keys because of what appears to be some form of a cyber attack. Car dealerships, we touched on that. The CDK Global company that provides auto dealerships with software for managing their sales and other services. What do you know about that story, Tom?
It's a big, big story, and it might be a bigger story than we know yet. CDK Global, as you mentioned, provides what they call DMS, or Dealership Management Systems. And dealers are so complicated to run now, because you have a parts department and a service department, and then you have the things related to selling and buying of cars, which involves titles and taxes and financing. And so there's so much that is handled by these systems, and they're very expensive. They can cost a dealer $10,000 a month. So it's a big deal. CDK was compromised, I think it was back on the 19th and then again on the 20th, by hackers. We don't know much about the hackers, except maybe they originate from Eastern Europe, but The problem is the dealer management systems are down, and dealers are having a very difficult time selling vehicles, and in fact have resulted, as you mentioned, to paper and pencil to get things done. The extent to which they are getting things done isn't clear at this point. I spoke with the folks over at the Chicago Automobile Trade Association about this, and they are working with the state to help them defer taxes until the systems are back up, because taxes are collected at the time of sale. And obviously that's not a thing that can happen immediately right now, because the wire transfers are being blocked. So there's a lot going on here. This affects about half the dealers in the nation. There's two big companies, one CDK and another one's called Reynolds & Reynolds. Reynolds & Reynolds is operating. But if you intend to go car shopping this week, what you want to do is just call the dealership you're thinking about going to first and make sure that you can still test drive and do things. You may be able to completely buy a car, but I think you're going to have to go back and finish some paperwork once the systems are back up.
You mentioned that it affects tons of dealers in this country. Patrick was saying that it's also this country and in Canada. Am I correct on that?
Oh, I hadn't thought about Canada. It's 15,000 dealers in the United States, plus probably, because everything in Canada is one-tenth, another 1,500 up there.
Yeah, interesting. And good point. A listener said, does this mean that I shouldn't go out shopping for a used car on Monday? Again, as you said, Tom, call the dealership. They're going to be honest with you if they can't do business at this point. They're literally trying to do business with their hands tied behind their back, right?
It is. And things got more complicated January 1st of this year. There were new, what were they called, safeguard rules to protect customer information and privacy that stepped up what the software did. And if in fact there have been there's compromised consumer data, and we don't know this yet, but if it is, they're going to have to file that, and that's going to be a big deal too.
We're going to be following up on this next week with Patrick, and if you find out anything in addition that you want to jump in on next week when we have Patrick on, please do.
Because
this is... boy, this impacts so many people.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about recalls in a couple minutes, but we're just wondering. We just found out that one of our cars is involved in a recall, and called up the guy on Saturday, and he said, oh, yeah, okay, well, we'll put an order in for the part. I wonder how long that's going to take for that part to get here or for the order to get processed, depending on what their situation is.
Yeah, that could be delayed.
We're talking with Tom Appel. Tom, hang on. We'll take a quick break, come back. We're still getting some reports of weather. It does appear that it is getting a little quieter all around us. That's good news. But we're still watching the weather because the last report we had from the National Weather Service said this could go on till 3 o'clock in the morning. So stay with us. We'll keep you posted on that and come back with news about a number of recalls, auto recalls here on WGN.
This is WGN Radio, and you're listening to the Steve and Johnny Show. And now, here's Steve and Johnny!
I don't think I'm worthy of that theme song, really. Who was that, Tom?
That is an ad hoc group that called themselves HUM, H-U-M, and it was Daniel Humer, Rene Utreger, and Pierre Michelot. Which was
easy for you to say.
Yeah, it's rough. It's three French guys that basically got together and recorded a live album.
I love the name HUM, though. That's perfect. Okay, these are Tom's tunes, music that Tom plays on vehicles that he is road testing. Before we get to recalls, and there's a lot to cover in that, what are you driving these days?
Oh, you know what I'm driving? I am driving the Fiat 500e, which is the rebirth of the Fiat 500 in the U.S. So it's the Fiat 500, little two-door runabout, discontinued a couple years ago. It's coming back as an electric car. Will be on sale soon. I'm driving that now. Limited range, something like 140 miles, but limited price too. It's about $35,000. I'm enjoying driving it very much. The up front is very roomy. The back seat is useless, but it is zippy. It's fun to drive. It's quick around town. There's a lot there to like. If you can live with the limited range, and if you're looking for like an urban electric vehicle, this might be the way to go.
I'm really surprised that there's limited range, because the Fiats are much smaller cars, so you would think by that definition that the batteries would be able to take a vehicle that is not as heavy as some of the bigger vehicles and propel it for a longer range. I'm surprised.
Yes, but they're trying to hit a price point, and battery size works against that.
Okay.
So that's the other, there's a lot of factors here, and that's one of them.
And let me go back to something you said, too, about the rear seat room. We haven't talked about this for years, but am I still correct that if you have a rear seat in a car, technically it is not a sports car, therefore the insurance companies won't charge as much as if it were technically a two-seat vehicle. Am I correct on that?
I don't know if that was definitely a rule. That was sort of a standard for a lot of years. I don't know how accurate that is anymore, because so many vehicles have back seats. Like the Porsche 911, which is the quintessential sports car, does have a back seat. In most versions, there are racing versions where they take the seat out. But I don't know if that affects insurance prices anymore. It may.
Well, that's your assignment, should you choose to accept it. By the way, a question going back to our conversation before we broke about the cyber attack. 708 area code wants to know, is this affecting CarMax too? That's a good question.
It is not. CarMax uses a proprietary system. They're such a big retailer that they don't need to go with off-the-shelf software.
Interesting. Another listener says, does CDK Global store or back up the dealership's data on their network, or is it stored at the dealership?
I think both, and I doubt they've lost the data. Mm-hmm. The problem right now, I think, is there's a lot of worrying about if they use the software, will they be compromising customer data.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's largely why they're offline.
Yeah, because the listener texted and says, if it's stored at the dealership, the impact of the data breach could be minimized. That's true if it's stored there.
Right.
One of the things about this, too, is that no dealer has been directly compromised. This is strictly cloud, the cloud system itself.
Well, another listener says, is this affecting all manufacturers? But as I understand it, it's like Stellantis, Ford, and BMW. Am I correct, Tom?
It wouldn't necessarily be limited to those manufacturers. I don't know if it's specifically related to them in any way, because dealers can use whatever network they want to use.
Oh,
so
okay.
Any dealer that is using this network is going to be impacted.
So what I've read as comments from those manufacturers, they have been contacted, and so they've commented. It doesn't mean that they're the only ones that have been affected by it.
So it's kind of like, are you using Windows or Mac software?
It is exactly like that.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I hesitate to get into the recalls before we take a break. Can we kind of go for something a little bit lighter? Because you just posted a story that I'm trying to find.
Actually, you got several stories.
Yeah.
One of them that thank you for giving us credit for the one of the columns that you can find at Consumer Guide and on your blog. You did a great blog about some of the cars that have been that were discontinued. That
sadly discontinued.
Yeah, sadly discontinued. Do you want to explain about that?
Sure, yeah. After our conversation 2 weeks ago, I went and looked into it, and I came up with three vehicles that I thought were especially pertinent in this conversation. And one of them was the Pontiac Fiero, which I think a lot of people remember, launched to great disappointment. It was a little bit slow, a little bit chubby, and it didn't actually handle well, despite the fact that it looked great. But by 1988, General Motors had turned to Lotus, race car engineering firm Lotus, that General Motors owned at the time,
yep.
to have them completely redo the chassis and suspension of the Fiero to great effect. The magazines loved it, but for whatever reason, the new, better Fiero didn't sell well, and they killed it after 88 anyway. It was so disappointing. They had just made the car interesting, and then there were rumors that they were going to squeeze a better engine under the deck, and oh, it was going to be cool, but nope, they killed it.
And as you pointed out, one of the rumors was they were working to squeeze a 190-horsepower version of the Oldsmobile Quad 4 16-valve engine that, as you say, could have put Corvette engineers on high alert.
Yeah, that was quite an engine, and it was developed by Oldsmobile. That's back when individual divisions of GM developed their own engines, and they used it in racing, and there was a version of the Achieva SCX, I think it was called, that was actually in its own class in SCCA racing, and that engine was applied to that. So this was quite an engine.
That can be found at the Consumer Guide site. Tom, we're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. If you drive a Toyota Grand Highlander or a Lexus vehicle, you want to listen up because we have a major recall affecting that.
Yeah.
And sadly, a few other recalls with Tom Appel, talking cars here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide, and we're digging some of Tom's tunes. And tonight's Tom's tune theme is could be a late night talk show theme. See, I would disagree with you on this one, Tom.
Okay.
This would have been a midday talk show host theme. This would have been a Merv Griffin theme.
Oh, I can accept that.
And who was that and what was it?
That is saxophone legend Roland Kirk off his 1960 album, Introducing Roland Kirk. The song is called Our Waltz.
I liked it.
But it's not a waltz.
No, it is not.
So
never mind. Stop.
There's fraud being committed in that title.
Okay, down to the serious business. I said if you drive a Toyota Highlander, or it's specifically a Lexus, the big SUV, is that the TX?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the Grand Highlander was added to the Toyota lineup this year, and it's a long wheelbase, larger version of the Highlander. It is very Highlander-like, but it is a little more premium, a little bit more expensive. Very nice vehicle, and the Lexus TX is the Lexified version of that vehicle. It's a premium vehicle. Both great vehicles. They've sold 145,000 of them or so, so far, and they're all being recalled, unfortunately, and for a very serious reason. It turns out that the side airbag may not inflate properly if the driver's side window is down.
Yikes.
Okay. Now, I have to ask, what does the airbag inflating have to do with the side window being down?
That is a good question, because the airbag is generally installed along the roof line. So right above where the doors would open, right above the top, that is where the side impact airbag is installed, and it shoots down. It's called a curtain side airbag for a reason, and it forms a curtain along the side. So I don't know specifically what the hassle would be with the window being down, but apparently there is some problem.
A big enough problem that they said, we've got to recall these vehicles. But if you own one of those vehicles and it is now the subject of a major recall, you won't be hearing about this until mid-August. This is mid-June. Okay, it's late June. We've got to wait till August. I find that baffling. The word is out there. I would imagine, though, if you're concerned, you can call your dealership and say, we understand that there's a recall. Would they be able to take action, or do they have to wait, Tom?
Yeah, because I don't think they have the parts yet to fix it.
Ah.
But the more I talk to people about why it takes so long to notify people, what seems to be the issue is that they don't want to be accused of keeping this a secret. So they let people know immediately when they're going to take action, even if they're not ready to take action. And in this case, it's almost 2 months, but they've got to find parts. The other thing is that there's a stop sale now on these vehicles, which means you can't buy these vehicles until there is a fix and they can repair them. So it's going to be a while. This is going to hurt Toyota sales this year.
Yeah, yeah. Toyota confirmed they're currently developing a remedy, quote unquote, and affected owners will be notified by mail by mid-August.
Now, if they're just developing a remedy, by the time they get through with the development and then they get to implement that remedy and then get to notify you that the remedy has been implemented,
the 25s will be out.
Yeah, at least.
Easily.
Yeah, it's going to be a while. So we're actually going to see just a crimped supply of 2024 vehicles here.
Okay. Any other recalls that we need to know about?
There's a very, very big recall at Chrysler over at Stellantis, and it affects 19 models across four brands, all Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, not all, but Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram models. 19 models total, 1 million cars affected, but it's not the world's most dangerous thing. It seems like the radio, for some reason, and we've had radios in cars for a while, so you would think we would have figured out how to work with this, but the radio can interfere with the backup camera. And it's possible that in some of these cars at some time the backup camera will not work. Apparently it's a very easy software fix. They've already fixed some of these over the air, but it looks like at least 250,000 of them will have to go to the dealer for repairs.
Isn't part of that problem because more and more things are being controlled by a computer chip, and as you put this one computer chip in charge of umpteen functions, that's where you're going to run into problems here?
Well, that is what's happening, yeah. Everything's just so interconnected now as we go to software-driven vehicles, as they call them, where everything is controlled through a single system. And there are lots of advantages to that, but there's a lot of disadvantages, too. Like when something goes bad, a lot of related things go bad.
Now, as I understand it, you may get a request to accept the update. It'll be right there in your vehicle, on your screen. It'll appear your media screen, which you're probably very familiar with, and you can then activate it, but you would be notified if the in-vehicle software update is not going to be adequate if you need to take your vehicle in.
That's one of the upsides of having all of these software updates, because many of them can be delivered over the air. Just we've had some updates in our car, and you just make sure that you're out where the update can be detected, and you sit there for maybe 15 minutes and the update is done, and have a nice day.
And apparently that's worked on 735,000 of the vehicles that needed that update so far. So that's pretty impressive, even though that's a crazy number. I actually heard myself whistle, and I don't even know how to whistle when you gave the figure of 1.16 million vehicles. And again, that has to do with your rear view camera issue related to the radio. And from what I'm reading, even the folks at Stellantis are scratching their heads saying, we're not sure why this would happen. We just know that it appears to be a problem.
I have here a headline about a recall that is my favorite headline of 2024.
Okay. And that is?
It is, and I quote, Waymo recalls driverless cars to make them less likely to drive into poles.
Oh, what? What?
Less likely. Now, that doesn't mean they won't, but they'd be
just less likely. Wow.
That made me laugh so hard because, yeah, driving into poles is a bad thing.
Yeah. Let me write that down.
That was a CNN headline, by the way.
What else? Oh, what was the thing you did? I don't have it in front of me, but you sent me an interesting thing. Was it about the American Motors Eagle?
Yes, I wrote a piece recently. I like to do these ads a couple of times a month, and I call them favorite car ads. Mm-hmm. And I go back and look for old magazine ads that amused me. And this is one of the best. The 1983 AMC Eagle SX4 And people might remember the Eagles, if you're old enough. The Eagle were the all-wheel drive cars that AMC started to build in 1980, and they were all-wheel drive versions of their conventional cars. And if you weren't there, you don't realize how incredibly unique and progressive it was to put all-wheel drive on a passenger car. And for a while, these were very popular. But this ad for the 83 AMC Eagle SX4, which was a version of the AMC Spirit, so a subcompact hatchback, made some of the most audacious claims ever in an advertisement. These were powered by relatively mediocre inline six-cylinder engines, and they were a little bit pudgy, and there wasn't a lot there going on, really, to make them high-performance. But they made these great claims, and I'd like to read them to you now, if I may.
Mm-hmm. You may.
Okay. The SX4, quote, out-corners a Trans Am in loose dirt, out-accelerates a Mustang Turbo in loose... Oh, I'm sorry. The Trans Am was in loose sand. Mustang Turbo, it out-accelerates in loose dirt, and it outbrakes an MGB in dry pavement.
What?
Okay.
Now, and I didn't know anyone ever compared their cars to MGBs at the time, but there you have it. But there's a commercial that goes along with it, and I have a link to it in the article, that shows it out-cornering a Trans Am in gravel and out-accelerating a Mustang Turbo in loose dirt. Absolutely hilarious.
Let me stay with American Motors for a second. I forget the name of the movie, but maybe you remember. There is a movie being done about American Motors that I think it's very close to being released, and I'm so curious because my pea-sized brain has always been a fan of Dick Teague and some of the things that he did at American Motors on a very limited budget. That he really was able to come up with some terrific design ideas, and a lot of the things that American Motors did in its final days really predicted things that are becoming have become the norm with sport utilities and four-wheel drive vehicles. Do you know anything about that movie?
This is how much I know about that movie. Joe Ligo, the producer of that movie, was on our podcast this week.
So, oh.
We know all about that movie. And, that movie's coming out soon. They're still trying to get it funded, but they're in the production stage. They're done shooting, they're producing and editing now. And it will be, it's six 1-hour episodes that will appear locally on PBS stations.
Oh, that's great. That's the last independent automaker American Motors show?
Yep.
Huh.
And the trailer, you can watch the trailer for it on YouTube. It looks spectacular. And they talk about the politics and the weirdness of the time. And exactly what you were talking about, Steve, trying to get things done on an incredibly shoestring budget.
Well, if you think we're not going to ask you for a contact number for him, you'd be wrong.
I absolutely have his information.
Okay. We'll take a break, and then more with Tom Appel coming up. Stay with us. Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, and we're listening to Tom's tunes. The theme tonight could be a late-night talk show theme, and I think that one we just heard would probably have been for something not on the three major networks. That would have been a Joan Rivers theme.
Sure.
And who was that and what was that?
That song was called Manhattan Style. It was by Rufus Reed. And if you don't know Rufus, Rufus was really busy between the 50s and up into the 2000s as a studio bass player, stand-up bass player. He was beloved by other jazz musicians. And that was off the album Rufus Reed and Out Front. And that's pretty recent, from 2010.
Okay.
A listener says AMC's last cars were the 1988 Eagles.
Yeah. Great vehicles.
Yeah. And I'm just scrolling through here. Another listener says, how do we find a Tom on Facebook? You can link from our Facebook page, should take you right there to Consumer Guide Automotive, right, Tom?
Yep, and if you're trying to follow me, I don't do much car stuff on Facebook, but I do a lot of really weird classic TV stuff on Facebook, so feel free. I welcome people following me.
Okay.
So if people want to follow you, best place would be on what we're now calling Twix.
Twix, yes. I'm Car Guy Tom on Twix. I do a lot. I only do car stuff there.
And they should check out ConsumerGuide.com. And blatant plug, what's new on ConsumerGuide.com?
Yeah, check out ConsumerGuide.com. From there, if you want to just stream it, you can listen to our interview with Joe Ligo about his movie, the AMC movie that's coming out soon. I've got a review of the Volkswagen Tiguan SE that just went up there. And I've got an interview coming Monday or Sunday night of the Genesis G70, which is their small sporty sedan.
Speaking of Genesis, I heard about an interesting recall for Genesis. I believe it involves fuel pumps. And it's only for certain years, but as I understand it, this recall is one of those you won't necessarily notice anything, but something could happen. So check, and if you get the recall notice, contact your dealer and
they'll
take
order
it in
the part
and do stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, if your fuel pump starts making noise, it's too late.
What kind of noise does it make? Like a knocking noise?
Does it go boom, shakalaka, laka, boom? Or
yes,
what?
Steve.
It does not do that. It's more of kind of a whiny, high-pitched noise.
Hmm. You know, people are going to go, but Dad, that's my wife. What do you mean? I didn't say that. I said people will say that.
So what else have you driven recently that you like?
I want you to go back to the Volkswagen Tiguan. What was your take on that?
I've got a love-hate relationship with Volkswagen these days. The Tiguan is a very modern, very premium-looking European compact sedan. It looks classy. The interior is classy. It rides and handles well. That's the good stuff. The bad stuff is that the touchscreen infotainment system is bad, B-A-D, bad. It loses your Bluetooth connections. It's difficult to work. It's slow to respond to touch inputs. A modern car maker shouldn't have those kind of problems. Additionally, and this isn't something we used to say about Volkswagens, the drivetrain's a little disappointing. It's a 2-liter turbo, 184 horsepower, should be up to the task, but it's a little bit sluggish off the line and doesn't always accelerate as progressively as you'd like. So, love-hate thing. It's a really classy-looking vehicle, a lot there to like. I would not dissuade someone from checking it out, but you definitely want to test drive it.
Okay. Some other things you're driving that you're impressed with or not?
I am super, super ridiculously impressed with the all-new 2025. I shouldn't say all-new, the refreshed 2025 Ram 1500 pickup. They've got a new top-end trim level called the Tungsten, which is ridiculously expensive. I'm driving a $90,000 truck, pickup truck. But boy, does it seem like a $90,000 vehicle. I mean, it's full-on luxury on the inside. They've replaced their V8s with new turbocharged inline six-cylinder engines that are even smoother. The power delivery is really good. There's nothing here not to like. You don't need to buy the $90,000 version. All the trucks are available with the new six-cylinder engines, but boy, if you wanted a luxury pickup, this is absolutely it.
Or if you have a rolling office, you might as well go, you know, for comfort. And I imagine that's what the interior is, very comfortable.
Yeah, and Johnny, that's how they used to sell high-end pickups. I remember GMC. Do you remember the GMC professional grade commercials?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were all about justifying, like, you've earned this position at work and you work out of your truck and you should have something nice. And that was how they sold that truck, and it's a pretty good way to sell it. And that's very much true of what this Ram is. It's the same kind of thing. If you spend a lot of time in your truck and you can afford it, why not?
Maybe a dumb question, but how much Detroit iron is in the current Stellantis, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, Jeep products?
It's still, the stuff we get in the U.S. is still very much old Detroit 3 stuff. It's all old Chrysler Group stuff. We don't see much else. You know, the funny stuff is the stuff that they brought in, like the low-end Jeep products, the Renegade, the Compass, and the Cherokee, those vehicles never really caught on with the public, and it's because they're not very Jeep-like. But Ram is still selling old-school Rams, and the Pacifica minivan is still the Pacifica minivan. The Dodge No, the Hornet. Yes, the Hornet's the new small crossover. That's an import vehicle, and that's new, and that's doing some volume over there. But for the most part, they're still largely the vehicles of the old Chrysler Group.
Okay. Well, what do you got coming up this week? You got your podcast drops on Tuesday, right?
I do, yes. And what am I reviewing next? I don't even know what I'm reviewing next.
That's okay. I know the feeling. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And you know where to find us if anything else breaks. And we'll just keep gathering our recall information. We're hearing from people saying, this just infuriates me that we have to wait months for something that could be like the last time you were on. We were talking about don't park your car in the garage.
Yeah.
Park it
right
outside because it could catch on fire. And people are still saying, really? Do we got to wait months to have that addressed? But.
And again, next week, Patrick will join us with some updates on the hacking. And if you have any interesting lightning blast.
Yeah, that was
down
like a
here.
Fireworks display. It was so dramatic.
Wow.
Yeah. You'll have to forgive me, but I'm very skittish sitting in a glass box 18 stories up with lightning and thunder all around me. Sleep well tonight, Tom. It's good sleeping weather. Okay.
Looking forward to it. Have a great evening.
Thanks. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, that's one of the differences in our relationship. I've always loved storms.
And I wanted to go to the closet and hide.
And I've always enjoyed... Julian, where do you stand or sit on storms?
Up or down?
Oh, I love them.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's like ASMR to my ears.
Okay.
And eyes.
Okay. Yeah, there's something about anytime there's a storm, I love, you know, do I want to be out in it? No. Do I want to watch it? Oh, yeah.
Mm. And we've driven through some unbelievable storms.
We have.
Alabama gets storms like no place ever.
Driving down 65, getting into Montgomery.
God. Oh. It's scary anyway on a good weather day driving into Montgomery on I-65, especially after there's been an Alabama game. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, what was that?
Yes.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN Radio.
I'll be out Tennessee land, and we can walk together down in Dixieland,
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Little Feet. Dixie Chicken.
Big deal up in Ravinia tonight.
If they got to play with the storm.
If you were at Ravinia this evening, were you shooed out or did you hang in there? I've been at Ravinia in the rain before. Mm-hmm. The show went on. I think when we saw McFarlane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rainy, but we were in the pavilion, so everybody stayed.
Yeah.
And the people on the grass packed up and got to their cars. But tonight it was Little Feet and Los Lobos, a great double bill.
That's a terrific double bill.
And a very big deal to if you got to catch Little Feet, because this is what they're calling there the Can't Be Satisfied Summer Tour, and they're only stopping at 16 locations across the country. So this was one of the locations. So if you had tickets tonight for Ravinia, did you get to see Little Feet and Los Lobos, or did the rain force you back to your car or back home? Of course, that song, Dixie Chicken, what is that, like 50 years old?
Yeah, I was trying. That was what? Yeah, that was mid 70s.
Yeah, because it was very big when I was at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah,
and that's the song that the Dixie Chicks say they took their mm-hmm. name from, the song "Dixie Chicken." Okay, there's a story that Ron Brown had earlier tonight that it stuck in my craw.
Yep.
When he read the story,
we both had the same reaction.
I couldn't believe it, but we were busy talking about weather and such, and we didn't have a chance to go back and talk to him about this goofy story. The Tribune is reporting that Guaranteed Rate Field will once again be changing the name of the field to simply Rate, R-A-T-E.
And why would they be changing the name?
Because people don't know how to spell guaranteed.
What?
If true, that is number 5 billion in our headlong plunge into lowest common denominator life.
Yes. People can't spell it, so we'll just make it real simple. It's R-A-T. Now, R-A-T-E. No, R-A-T is what I'm thinking, rat.
Yeah.
Golly. So, it's already the worst possible name for a stadium.
It was
guaranteed
a stupid
right.
name.
It's just, it's always...
It's Comiskey Park.
And it was stupid. It was the Cell before that. The Cell was actually, okay.
Yeah, it kind of got used to it.
Yeah, we kind of got... And so we resisted Guaranteed Rate Field. But now it's just going to be Rate. Rate. What is that?
Stupid.
Rate. It's stupid. It is literally, as you said, it is. It's just bowing to the lowest common denominator.
And sadly, we are doing that more and more and more in...
We can't spell guaranteed.
Pick your part of society, and we're doing that more and more.
It absolutely made me... when he read the story, I screamed, what?
Yep.
What could we...
Come on, people. Life takes a little bit of thought. You can quote me on that.
Guaranteed. How often do you need to spell guaranteed? Is it difficulty pronouncing guaranteed when you see the word? I don't get that.
Is it hard for you to look it up?
Guaranteed. Yeah. You know, I came
That's one of the reasons I was one of many reasons I was a huge Stan Lee fan. Because when Stan started writing a lot of the Marvel Comics dialogue, he did not dumb it down. He put in words and phrases, and his thought was, look it up.
He told us that was his goal, was to get kids to be intrigued by this new word, and they would end up looking it up. And you've got the dictionary at your fingertips, for gosh sakes. I'm just...
Yep, I'm right there with you.
My favorite T-shirt this week was the T-shirt that reads, in script, I can read ancient text. Because who needs to know how to write script, right? Sign your name. I was talking to somebody recently. I can't even recall who I was talking to, but we were talking about writing out checks. And she said, well, I don't even have a checkbook because I don't need to write out checks. I do everything online, which I'm beginning to think that the best thing in the world I can do is continue to pay my bills writing out checks because, well, second thought, you have to be careful with the pen that you use to write out your check so that your check doesn't end up ending up in the wrong hand so that it can be washed and then you can be taken
We recently...
granted.
Ordered a whole bunch of pens.
Yes.
We're doing these pens instead of our business cards. And one of the things that we liked about these pens is they have a kind of ink that can't be erased. So if you write a check, you can't...
Wash it. You can't wash it and change a 5 to 5,000. You can't wash it and just steal money from people. Yeah.
You talked about how that T-shirt was one of the favorite things you saw this week.
Mm-hmm.
The favorite thing I saw this week, and I posted it on my own Facebook page, and I have to credit Mitch Michaels for coming up with this.
Oh.
It says, for every cigarette you smoke, God takes an hour from your life and gives it to Keith Richards. I love that.
We were driving along today, and a woman had her window down, and she had her hand with her cigarette out the window. And you said, we should tell her.
She's giving another hour to Keith Richards.
She'd probably go, who? What? 847 area code says, Rate's name change has less to do with spelling than the negative press it's received. That may be, but they're saying... That was the comment that Ron had in his newscast, the comment that's in the Tribune. They're saying that the name change is because people have difficulty spelling it. I find that baffling. I don't know that I've ever had to write down guaranteed rate field on anything for any reason. I want a cool stadium name like the one in Kentucky. It's the KFC Yum Stadium. I want to go to the Yum. Now, that's easy to spell. It makes you hungry. And guess what just happened?
Yep.
Yeah, it's after one.
Yep.
We've already started talking about what's it going to be when we get home tonight. And it looks like it's going to be a meatloaf night.
That works for me.
Julian, thumbs up or down on meatloaf? Really?
You've never tasted Johnny's meatloaf.
I've tasted 30 years of my mother's meatloaf.
See, I think guys either love it or hate it. Every guy that I've known, they go, no. Your brother,
he doesn't like it. I wasn't crazy about my grandmother's meatloaf. My mom never really made meatloaf. But my mom made the best round steaks I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, taking an inexpensive piece of meat and making it really tasty. And that's basically what I do with meatloaf. I don't get the most expensive. I like it to have a little bit of grease and fat to it.
Yeah.
It makes it yummy. So I get the 80-20 combo of beef. And I use oatmeal. I know that sounds just, ugh. Oatmeal.
But it works.
It works. And I use onion. And
by the way, I'm pausing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going back to a harangue we had earlier this week. And it kind of ties in with dumbing things down. Mm-hmm. But as you are giving this recipe.
Right.
People, when you follow a recipe, follow the recipe.
You said to me, you know what? You really, really should get down to the business of doing your cookbook. And I said, no, I don't want to do it because I am not ready to just deal with constant questions like, well, what happens if you don't follow the recipe?
There was someone that took one of your recipes.
Oh, my gosh.
Replaced milk with water. Replaced butter with
oil. Replaced two eggs with one egg.
And instead of doing pork chops, did a steak.
And said,
and then didn't understand why it didn't come out. Okay, hey, you've used a different kind of meat. You didn't use the milk. You didn't use the butter.
You didn't use the recipe. And then you write to me and say, what went wrong? Why? And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I use that as an example when I said to you, I don't want to publish a cookbook. I do not want to be available to people who say, but, when I used chicken in that beef recipe, it didn't taste like you said it would. No, it's not going to.
And I still want you to write the cookbook.
No, it's written, but I just don't want.
And we'll put a disclaimer. Follow the recipes.
Damn it.
Strong message to follow.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll be back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
You had a Jones in for the Stones, hey?
For every cigarette you smoke, God, or should I say, God, takes an hour from your life and gives it to Keith Richards.
Stones are coming to town next week, Thursday, Soldier Field, 8 o'clock. And then they're going to be hanging out around town on
Friday. So you know they're going to... Oh, I wouldn't at all be surprised if they wind up at Buddy Guy's Legends, especially when Buddy has said this is kind of the last stuff he's going to be doing.
Because they're going to be in town Friday and Saturday, because then their next concert is Sunday at Soldier Field, 8 o'clock. We had a listener that checked in last week from Cleveland. He had just seen the Stones, and didn't he say that was his 150th Stones concert?
150th or 115th? I don't remember.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
And he was going to see them in Chicago, too. So if you're listening right now, you need to check in here.
He was the Elton Jim of the Rolling Stones.
He was. Or my girlfriend, Paula, who has seen James Taylor 173 times mm-hmm. all around the world. Her husband took her to Paris to see James Taylor. And James Taylor saw her in the audience and was kind of freaked out because he's seen her in the audience everywhere around the country.
Yeah, the word stalker comes to mind.
Actually, she became, and she admits it, she said she became obsessed with James Taylor when she was going through chemotherapy, mm-hmm. chemotherapy for breast cancer. That's all she listened to on Maybe she just had her yeah. earbuds in and she just listened to James Taylor over and over again and said that he actually got her through that. So her husband surprised her with front row tickets to see him that year. And after that, it was every place they could see him, they would go see James Taylor.
You know, sometime we should do a show on that. We're, no secret, we're both big music fans of all kinds of music. Mm-hmm. And I am a firm believer in the power of music
yeah.
to impact how you feel. Julian, where do you stand on that?
On music making you feel a certain way?
Yeah.
Oh, I agree completely.
Or healing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just... I don't know if it makes your endorphins or something happen in your body, but things change.
On a partly personal note, about 10 years ago, I was going through a rough, dark time, and I was listening to some Doors,
mm-hmm.
as one does at my age. And let me tell you, very transformative.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There are some—I may sometime put together a list of got-me-through-stuff songs.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Lee, Whole Lotta Shakin'.
Yeah.
That's my go-to. I'm in a bad mood. Jerry Lee, whole Lotta Shakin'. I'm better.
And if you another go before one, me, it's going to be really awkward at your funeral because I want you to go out right now and make public you want it at your funeral. Whole Lotta Shakin'.
Whole Lotta Shakin', or maybe Jerry Lee's version of When the Saints Go Marching In, because okay. that's cool too. Another one of those songs would be Elton John, I'm Still Standing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Peter Allen song that I'm drawing a blank on right now, but I'll work on it.
But Peter Allen was really important to you.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know who Peter Allen was, and you introduced me to him, and you said, oh, yeah. And then I realized, oh, wow, you know a lot about this man. And you had the good fortune to interview him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really
extraordinary
talent,
singer, composer. And I believe I interviewed him when he was about to go on Broadway and do a musical about Legs Diamond.
Legs Diamond, yeah.
So this would have been in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his albums was called Bicoastal.
Mm-hmm. Great album.
And I'm trying to think of... after the news, we may have to bump back with a Peter Allen song.
Okay.
So,
music that got me through dark times. I know you're going to find this surprising. Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose.
Oh yeah.
Love
them.
I could sing to the top of my lungs to that music, and that was healthy. That was
sure.
You're frustrated. You're angry. The world is just a tough place to be, and then if you can just belt it out,
mm-hmm.
and I could actually sound good singing along with him too. Coming up in the next half hour, you know, it's the last call, so stand by for that here on WGN.
I might fly away and go my own way to places that we've never been together. I might fly away, take to the sky someday. But not for now, not today. Nobody here is flying away.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Peter Allen away. Fly Away. What a talent he was.
Did that get airplay?
Yeah, it did.
I thought so.
It was kind of a... what we used to call back in the day a middle of the road hit.
Okay.
It did fairly well for him. Made the Hot 100, probably the top 40.
Mm-hmm.
Just if you don't know anything about Peter Allen, do yourself a favor, look up Peter Allen.
Right.
What a story.
He's no longer alive.
No, sadly. He wrote a wonderful song about, he was married for a while to Liza Minnelli. And he wrote a wonderful song about Liza Minnelli's mom, Judy Garland. The song is called Quiet Please, There's a Lady on Stage. And it's a wonderful song.
He was a terrific writer.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Speaking of music having a positive healing effect on you, a listener tells me that Marie Osmond has a new CD and a song called Music is Medicine, the title of that CD. Hmm. We'll have to look it up.
It's been a long time since we talked with her.
Mm-hmm.
We should get her on. And you were mentioning a song that that was one of your go-to songs. Mm-hmm. Should we do a little bit of that?
I might get in a mood. You don't know.
Okay, let's do a little bit of Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose.
Yeah.
This takes me back to my top 40 radio days.
It was a tough time.
But it's not too late to turn back now.
My mama told me, she said, son, please beware. There's this thing called love, and it's a everywhere. As she told me, it can break your heart out and put you in misery. Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe, I believe, I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late.
What a great, great track. I believe they only had two hit records. What was their other hit
record?
Which
is so wrong.
He
had the greatest voice.
And didn't he become a preacher? I'm pretty sure.
I think you're right.
He...
Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose, and they were really related.
Yeah.
Carter Cornelius, he disbanded and he joined a black Hebrew sect in Miami, adopted the name Prince Gideon Israel.
Wow.
Okay. And what was their other hit record? Because they had at least two.
Treat Her Like a Lady.
Oh, yeah.
My gosh.
Can you dig up Treat Her Like
a
Lady?
What a great song. Treat Her Like a Lady.
In fact, we need to find out if we don't have a Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose album.
Because Don't Ever Be Lonely is also a great song. It didn't get to like top 20, but it was an excellent song.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. He's got a great voice.
He really does.
Oh, my friend, attach me. Something they didn't understand. I get all the women in the palm of my hand. And I told them, treat her like a lady. Treat her like best you can do. You gotta treat her like a lady. You know what I mean.
So his family, Carter, Eddie, and Rose, as in Sister Rose, and a childhood friend, Cleveland Barrett, was in the band, and they were just really big in the early 70s. They hit it big about 73.
What was the other one you said? Don't Let Me Be Lonely?
Don't Let Me Be Lonely, yeah.
See if you can dig a little bit of that up.
And they came, the whole family came from Dania Beach, Florida. They originally formed in the mid-60s, and after seeing a talent search ad in the paper, they auditioned for Bob Archibald, who then signed them to his label.
Hmm.
So whatever happened to Rose and the rest of the gang? I'm going to work on that this week.
Don't ever be lonely.
Oh, yeah.
Don't ever be lonely.
All of their records were great hook records.
Yeah. It's just such a terrific voice, too. Gosh.
Well, we're going to be going to Amazon for Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose's Greatest Hits album. And yes, we are the ones who actually buy CDs still, and not just oldies,
yeah,
but all forms of CDs.
I do also want to put in an order for a Kevin Costner CD. We fell down the rabbit hole today when we were doing prep for tonight's show. And
in fact, real quick, and I know we have to break. Julian, can you dig up the other Kevin Costner?
I was so impressed.
My Heart Won't Stop Loving You. Boy, we got to get this CD.
Yeah. And this was from his last CD.
Yeah. It's Kevin Costner with his group Modern West.
I still wake up every morning. You're the first thing to cross my mind. I still smell your sweet perfume in the early afternoon, when that mountain wind comes blowing through the pines. You're the only thing round here I'm holding on to, 'cause my heart won't, no, my heart won't, no, my heart just won't stop loving you.
Man, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, believe it or not, is Kevin Costner. He's good. Yeah, that album is going to find its way to our playlist.
Yeah, we just kept playing cuts from the album and said, oh my gosh, I had no idea.
And he's appeared on the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, yeah, and he's not a bad guitarist either.
Yeah.
And I think a couple of cuts, his daughter comes out and performs mm-hmm. with him too.
Oops.
All right. I know.
The lights are flashing
already.
And what do I hear in the distance?
I thought so.
Yep.
So that wasn't lightning. That was actually the lights flashing because it's time to get ready for our last call. Yes.
So if you would like to be our last caller and win some goodies from this year's prize list, give us a call at 312-981-7200. That number again is
312-981-7200.
As long as you have not won anything from this here radio place in the last 60 days.
That's 2 months. We're going to simplify it for you.
60 days. Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Or should we say 62 days?
Why?
Because if they're 2 months that had 31 days, that would be...
No. No.
Well...
Stop.
Okay.
Stop.
312-981-7200. If you would like to be our last caller, and we'll just go through and pick a number, and that'll be it.
You don't have to have anything brilliant to talk about.
At least one brilliant
thing. Well, yeah, it's always nice if you do. If you've got any comments on anything that happened this evening on the show, you're welcome to share those. If you have plans for a big Sunday, the first Sunday in summer 2024, anything.
We didn't play any summertime songs tonight.
We did not.
Well, shame on us. That's a reason to come back next week.
You're actually twiddling your finger, your thumbs.
Am I?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, well, I can twiddle my thumbs if I want. Oh, speaking of thumbs, you wonder where I'm going with this?
Yes.
Oh, our sympathies to Janelle and Terry.
Yes, you heard them on our show a couple of weeks ago, River Road Trio. Terry has shingles in his thumb.
In his thumb, so he cannot even come close to picking a guitar. He had to cancel a couple gigs.
Yeah.
Oh, get better, Terry.
It's just a picture of him holding his thumb up. And I know it doesn't sound, but if you're playing guitar.
And I mean, shingles any place is not a good thing. But for a guitar player, shingles in your thumb, really, 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 really bad.
Yeah.
Okay, 312-981-7200, last call coming up.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people.
Yep.
It's time to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Losing time.
Losing time.
Head on out. Yep. So let's go.
Let's go.
You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
No, you can't stay here.
Can't stay here.
We got to get this studio all ready for the Dean Richards Sunday morning show. It's a Sunday, and you are the cherry on top of a five-hour show. You're the icing on the cake. You're the gravy on our meatloaf. Well, actually, we're going to have cold meatloaf, right?
Yeah, we're going to have cold meatloaf, probably cold meatloaf
sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Now, people have been texting.
And we're probably going to continue our Blue Bloods marathon. We have been binge-watching Blue Bloods.
How many do you think we watched in the last week?
I want to say close to 20.
We've watched 17 episodes.
Really?
Yes.
We've been going back to the seasons of Blue Bloods
that
we never saw.
Sundance Channel does a marathon on Sunday, so you get 12 hours. And now they've started just going right into...
Well, Sundance does one marathon, and then
Ion
does another marathon.
Yeah.
So we're just kind of catching up on all of our Blue Bloods.
I mean, into the wee hours of the morning. 4 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
We're still watching Blue Bloods.
Yeah.
I'm dreaming about the family. I know. They've been around for 14 years. Where have we been?
You can't watch everything.
But I didn't find it interesting back when it first came on television, as much as I like Tom Selleck.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't do anything
for
me.
And I still want to know why he only devoted a page and a half in the afterword of his book to Blue Bloods.
And you know this because you bought the book.
Yeah.
And that's before we started watching the show. And
And the lion's share of the book is all about Magnum.
Mm-hmm, which
and
is
then
fine.
In the afterword of the book, literally... A page and a half. Mm-hmm.
An afterword is what it's called.
Yeah.
But
that has nothing to do with our last caller.
All right. Julian was not here last week. So, Julian, I'm going to tell you, draw a random number, and then that will be our last caller. Just random number.
21, since I was in Vegas.
Okay. Number 21, and that would be Kelly. Hey, Kelly, where are you calling from?
Oh, hi, Steve and Johnny. Thank you I'm so glad I won number 21. I'm calling from Aurora, Illinois.
Yay, Aurora, the Fox Valley.
Yeah.
How was your weather out there tonight?
Well, we had a big storm, and as a matter of fact, the power went out almost 2 hours ago now, and I'm sitting in it got so hot in the house, I'm sitting in the car in the driveway with my dog with the air conditioning on, listening to WGN radio. I brought a blanket just in case I put the seat back, you know. I'm hoping that it comes on soon.
Oh.
But I was so, I'm a huge WGN radio fan. I listen all the time, usually not this late, but I love you guys. And when I turned on the radio, I got to hear the last half hour of the show and the wonderful songs you were playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I never even knew that Kevin Costner had a song to play or anything.
He's good.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
He really is. And he's got that new movie coming out.
Yes.
Promoting that a lot, you know. So I was like, wow, I didn't even know that.
Well,
we
interviewed Dave Karger from Turner Classic Movies earlier tonight because on Sunday night on TCM.
At 7 o'clock Chicago time.
He has Kevin Costner on, and Costner talks about the two westerns, the two movies that impressed him so much and kind of prompted him to make this 12-hour movie, Horizon. So it's really fascinating, but he does a sit-down with Dave, and so that's going to be Sunday night. So that's what we were talking about, and that's how we got on the Kevin Costner kick tonight.
Oh, great.
So what have you got the temperature set at in your car?
Well, I've got it set at low all the way down, but it does tell me that the outside temperature right now is 79 degrees.
Oh, that's a big change.
It's still very warm, and you know it's very humid. It was breezy earlier, but now it's just stagnant air, humid, and Yeah, and no power in the house, so that's no good. But aww. I did want to tell you guys that I'm going tomorrow to the Cubs game. They're going to play the Mets in the Ryan Sandberg statue and
yes.
all that yeah. stuff. So I'm excited. As a matter of fact, I'm taking myself there. Me, myself, and I, I'm my best friend, you know. So we
good girl. Our company. Good.
Good for you.
Good.
Yeah, and I'll be taking the train. I take public down there, and I'm recently retired. I'm 64.
Awesome. You're a kid. Good. Good yeah, for you. That's yeah. going to be wonderful.
What did you do before you retired?
Well, I was a union carpenter for 15 years, and then after that, I was a city employee here in Aurora for another 15 years.
Wow.
Which yeah. did you like better?
Probably working for the city, because at least I didn't have to travel. With the carpenters, I had to travel so much every day. It really added a lot to your work day. You
were people surprised when you walked in and they said, "Where's the carpenter?" And you said, "I am the carpenter." Did you get that very much?
Yes, more than once.
Yeah, I bet. Like, oh, I thought you were the bookkeeper. What are you doing here? I was looking for a carpenter. Well, it sounds like you've got a great day planned today, and the weather's going to be outstanding.
You said you're in the car with your dog. What kind of a dog do you have?
Well, I have a rescue pit bull, and she is 85 pounds, and ooh. She's red, all red with a little bit white on her chest, and she's the most darling, loving dog you've ever met.
And what's her name?
Her name, she came with this name. Her name is Ariel.
Oh, I love that.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Well, you're safe. Yeah. You're safe in your car. You're cool. And you're ready if you nap. But you better set up and, like, set your watch or something to wake you up in case you get into a really good sleep. Okay?
Right. And I've got my phone plugged into the car. So that's I'm charging the phone. So
okay.
I can still have that going on, too.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, have a great time today. And I'm tickled that since you're a WGN fan, you're going to receive the official WGN T-shirt.
These are really cool.
Yes. And we're also going to send you the hottest thing out there these days, your very own American Weathermakers weather station, desktop weather station. That's coming your way as well.
So hold on for a couple seconds, and Julian will get some information
Thank
from you.
You
off the air. That's cool.
Yep, Kelly from the Fox Valley, my old stomping grounds.
And we are rapidly running out of time.
We got
about 15 seconds.
Yeah, our thanks to the team, Bob, the keeper of the big plug, and Ron and Sylvia, and, of course, Julian on the other side of the glass. Nice to have Julian back tonight.
And, by the way, happy belated birthday to Sylvia.
Yeah. And thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We really appreciate it, and I'm glad we could hold each other's hands through the storm. And it looks like it's all quiet now, so we're going to venture out with Meatloaf waiting for us.
And hopefully we will talk to you next week.